Hello, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order today, or welcome today to Thursday, November 14th, the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau meeting. It is, for the record, 9:04 a.m. I would like to let everyone know Alex Amini and Jane Beeman are not here today, and John Myers is Skyped in via teleconferencing. John, are you there? I'm going to make sure John's there. Calling for John Myers. There is John Myers. Yes, we can hear you. Making sure
I had you muted.
Okay. So as you can see, we are four here and then one teleskyped. We will go to public comment. I will open the floor to public comment. Please state your name.
Good morning. Good morning. John Solu, resident Morro Bay, business owner. I know that last month we made a comment about the Harbor Festival coming and giving a presentation. We'd like to have, to see if we can be on your agenda next month. We would like to make a full presentation to you. You know, the Harbor Festival is, like it or not, is the biggest economic impact event in the city. We try to reinvent ourselves this year, and we have a full afternoon with a facilitator. We're going to have a board meeting.
Making the CIF. They are playing this weekend, and that's exciting for them. So go boys, go Pirates. Everybody get your gear on and get out there and support the team. Also, I'd like to congratulate the girls' varsity volleyball team for making the CIF tournament and heading down south this week. And they had a game yesterday, and I don't know how their outcome was, but I sure hope that they won. I'm hearing from another member of the board that they won. So go Pirate girls, go Lady Pirates. And we appreciate all that the kids do, the efforts they put in, and they are student athletes, and Morro Bay High School makes sure that they are students first and athletes second, and we just really support our high school football and volleyball teams and all of the teams out there. So go Pirates. Also, the Pirates have the 4-H and Ag department and music department are selling poinsettias, wreaths, and Christmas trees right now, so call the high school and get your orders in for your Christmas trees to support the school and the children. I'd also like to, as president of the board of Morro Bay Sings, I would like to thank the community for coming out to a wonderful event on Saturday night and helping us to raise a significant amount of money for youth sports scholarships for children participating in recreational youth sports in Morro Bay. These children can be from Morro Bay, Cayucas, and Los Osos, and they can receive scholarships anywhere between 40% and 60%, and for youth sports and enrichment through the Recreation Parks Department. We have scholarships available now, and we would love to give some money away. If you know a family in need, please have them contact the Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Department about the Morro Bay Community Foundation for youth sports. And finally, pertaining to tourism, I would like to announce that the Pleasant Inn Motel, a family-owned business, is back open. We were scheduled to be down for renovation for 21 days, and we are now open, completely renovated. We invite the visitor center staff over and our director of tourism over, and we are looking forward to working with the director of tourism on a press release similar to the one that was done for the Comfort Inn about our remodel. And we'd just like to say that we'd like everyone in the community, we invite you out to take a peek at the newly, completely renovated Pleasant Inn Motel, 10 rooms. It's a restored inn where classic coastal cottage meets contemporary, and we're located at on Harbor Street. And come on down and see Sandy and Patches, which is our hotel dog, and visit with John or me. So we'll see you there. Thank you.
Congrats. Yes, very exciting. Nick, board announcement.
Yeah, I just want to mention, I'm sure everybody knows that our city attorney is moving on, and Rob has done so much for us over the years for the TBID and the Bureau and setting things up, and has done just so much for this board. I just wanted to publicly thank him for that and wish him well.
I echo that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Karen, any board announcements? Okay. I will echo that as well. Yes, that was on my thing. Thank you, Rob. You were very helpful and instrumental in us being here. The Bureau probably wouldn't be here without Rob, so thanks, Rob. Also, I would like to notify the public. Karen Moss has notified the Board of Directors that when her first-year contract is up as Executive Director, it's up December 6th, she has opted to return to her former status as an independent contractor, so she has resigned from the Bureau. She will be doing business as Moss Marketing Solutions. She's indicated that she prefers the independence and autonomy that the role provides her, and the board has agreed to continue working with her on a project management basis, providing specific marketing and promotional services. We are, as a Bureau, looking forward to working with Karen as she helps us through the transition, and we will be hiring a new executive director. So I just want to let the public know about that as well. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. Nick, John Myers, and myself are working with the entire team at the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau to move this forward because we don't want to lose any momentum. So that's, I think, the final board announcement. John, do you have any board announcements? I almost forgot about you. I'm sorry.
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay. So John is good. I will move us forward to approval of the minutes. Hopefully the board has had an opportunity to look through those minutes, and I would look for a motion to approve. Oh, and Karen is not here today because she's really, really sick with the flu. So heads up, Peter is here for her executive director's report. Thanks, Joan. That's why she's not here. She's still been working hard. I've spoken to her every single day all week. We've been working still from home. When you're sick, you still work from your bed with your computer and a laptop. So I know she's been working. I got plenty of emails and stuff. She's just obviously we didn't want to come out and contaminate the rest of the world. So thanks, Joan. And approval of the minutes.
I move that we approve the minutes.
Second.
Have come before Morro Bay every year looking for funding solutions in order to market the county as a destination. When we market the county as a destination, we see compression on all the subsidiaries, which are the cities within the county. And so that has largely been handled through the VCB. Even with the inception of the T-bids over a number of years, we still have looked to the VCB as a leading role for destination marketing to bring all of the partners together. The VCB has increasingly looked for different mechanisms for funding. We've tried, you know, fair share methods, the city methods, where each city municipality had paid, then the T-bids paid, and in order to market the county. And so there's been a lot of conversation over the last 3 or 4 years about how we can come together and make that marketing effort more sustainable and in order to show growth within the county. And so Stacy and the VCB board has come up with some recommendations on how to do that, and I believe that she'll be presenting those here today.
Thanks, Joan. I just wanted everybody to have a little background.
Great. Thank you. Very much appreciate that. And wanted just to, first and foremost, thank Joan and John Myers for attending our board meeting on October 16th, which is where we really started to take a look at this. We really took a look at our competitive set. And in the essence of time, I won't go through that presentation, which does end up being about 30 to 40 minutes long. But really what we did initially was we said, okay, how are we stacking up against the competition in terms of total dollars going in to a collective fund from a unified approach? And we took a look at Monterey, Santa Barbara, Sonoma, and Napa, and it's no surprise that we're being outspent by our competitors. Now, the beauty with all of the T-bids that have been put in place here in the county, we do have a collective, we have more dollars infused in tourism marketing than we've ever had before. So really the question before you, as you know, we have come to you every year with our taxable rents unit fair share form formula to ask for a portion of those dollars to go back to sustaining the countywide identity, in which it has been constituents have asked us to look at what is, you know, managing the countywide brand and looking at things that we can't, that you can't do on your own, but we can do collectively as a whole. And so that's really the premise of what the direction is here. There's been a task force that was assigned, or that was volunteered, I should say, at the October 16th meeting. J.P. Patel, who's here today, is a member of that task force. And the one-pager that was handed out to you is a really nice synopsis of what we're really trying to look at and kind of the situation at hand. And really, the goal is very simple, is let's create a sustainable, more predictable funding model for tourism marketing in our county. So we've done that at the individual community levels. The question is, how does the countywide effort really fit into that? And are we okay with where we are, or could we have a stronger countywide effort, and how would we go about doing that? So the board really took a look at a couple of options. One was, do we look at what funds are currently in there and ask for a greater percentage of those funds going to the county? Or do we look at infusing new dollars into the system? And I think the straw vote by the Visit San Luis Obispo County Board of Directors was, let's start to explore new funding options to add to that, which would really complement all of the work that's being done at the community level. And so the task force has met twice since that meeting on October 16th. First of all, my request is I would love to ask Morro Bay to get involved in that task force. So there's an open invitation there. I believe Joan and John and your executive director have been getting all of our notices of those meetings, but we would really love to have you participate in that process so we can collectively as an industry define where it is we want to go. We can control our destination, if you will. We are having a special meeting coming up on November 25th. And I want to make sure that that is on your calendars. That'll be from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Courtyard Marriott in San Luis Obispo. The task force and board has agreed to bring down John Lambeth, who is the president of Civitas. John, as you probably have understand that name, he has been very instrumental in the BID law here in the state of California. He is going to be sharing with us some examples of how the community and countywide BIDs can exist, showing us other case studies of how this can work, answer your questions in terms of how the process happens, and really help us create that dialogue, and we're really in a workshop setting so that individual constituents can ask those questions directly to the expert in terms of what should we anticipate in terms of a timeline, if this is something that you all agree that you want to move forward with, essentially. So it's really going to be an information sharing meeting, and hopefully that you will, and everyone is invited to attend. So all of your constituents, all of your members are invited to be there. A couple other pieces that the task force has identified county. So with that, I also want to invite, I have Noreen Martin, who is our chairman, and J.P. Patel here, and we'd be happy to entertain any questions that you have for the time that you have allotted.
Okay. Do you have any questions amongst the board? Okay. Do you want to have Noreen and J.P. come up first?
They can be addressed anyway.
Okay.
Do we open up for public comment now after her presentation, or do we wait after their full presentation? Okay, great.
Nick, do you have any questions currently? I'm sure you'll have more.
Well, just so I understand, we're looking at creating a new BID, essentially.
Additional.
County BID,
yeah.
Correct.
Because the county has a BID already, correct?
The unincorporated area, which is known as the Wine Coast Country area.
Okay.
But the county identity, Visit San Luis Obispo County, does not have a sustainable funding mechanism.
Okay. Right.
Karen Biagini.
So you're using Sonoma, Monterey, Santa Barbara, and Napa as a baseline in terms of what they're spending on marketing and trying to bring us up to, if not match, but be closer to. Do you know what the taxable lodging revenue for those areas is in comparison to San Luis Obispo County?
I do. It's on a presentation. I'd be happy to pull up those numbers for you. I don't have them memorized, though. So
maybe you could send them to us or a little bit more. Is the presentation like in a
it's in a PDF
PowerPoint
format.
Yeah,
okay. I can look those up while we continue the dialogue if you'd like.
Okay, that'd be great if you could just mail it to us or email it to us.
Yeah, we are.
Like
I can make a hard copy for you of the presentation.
Okay.
I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, that'd be wonderful. So we're talking about a 1 to 1.25% assessment overlay. I don't think there are any other bids in San Luis Obispo County that has a 3% assessment like Morro Bay does. So we're looking at going to a 4% on top of our 10% TOT, 4 to 4.25 or 14.25 on top of our 10% TOT. Have you got any suggestions on how we might deal with that type of a assessment that would put Morro Bay at a disadvantage, let's say, to some of the other areas in the county?
Well, that is we completely understand your situation, which is, my first request is we would love for you guys to get involved in the task force. The purpose of the task force is really to identify these challenges that we have in each individual community so we can create a workable solution. I don't have a solution here for you today because I really believe that needs to be a dialogue between both entities if you believe this is a possible solution and how can we work that out together.
And then the last question is, you mentioned something about returning some of the assessment funds back to the communities. I think Wine Country does that. They do like a percentage of the, I think they're at 1%, and it's a split. Is that what you're talking about
Let me be clear. Every year we come to you on our two-tenths taxable rents unit.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I don't know those numbers right off the top of my head for Morro Bay, but I think you end up funding us at approximately $60,000, $70,000, whatever the dollar amount is for the year, based on your TOT taxable rents, and we take two-tenths percentage of that. That's what we request to create our collective. The thinking is if we can create a sustainable funding mechanism, that annual request that we currently make, we'd be returning back to you, essentially. So not on the collection of the new BID funds, but on what we currently are asking you as part of our collaborative approach today. Is that clear?
I'm not sure unless you're saying, and I think it's usually between 30 and 40 that we've been
funding. That dollar amount.
So you're not requesting that anymore, but you are requesting the 1 to 1.25% that's the mechanism that goes forth.
That is one of the negotiations discussions on the table. If we can get a collective force to say, yeah, this 1.25% makes sense, then let's work with our community partners who also we know are looking at their own community efforts. And then let's return those dollars back to them.
And just so I'm sure, because you did say this would be the overlay on all the existing bids, so you are going out into the county, into the unincorporated areas also, and picking up those vacation, agritourism issues also.
Yes, that's the initial direction that's been given by the task force. Again, as we have more input, as we have more key learnings, we're literally a month into this, and so we want to make sure we continue the dialogue, bringing everybody along at the same time.
Joan, do you have any questions?
Hi, Stacey. I was at your presentation, and it's a good PowerPoint, guys. When you see it, it provides a lot of information in terms of what other destinations and whatnot are doing. Christine Johnson, our tourism liaison, who's in the back with City Council, was also there. So she took in the information, I think. I do have some questions. It's a significant amount of money that Morro Bay Food Saver and all of the Saver ancillary costs, how that would look for the destination, if that would then stop the whole membership for restaurants, retailers, and activities. Because, that is a significant amount of money, and if that type of money were stepping forward, I would assume that then everyone would be a player. And in my mind, I've always thought that in the VCB, in terms of the VCB, there could be so much more on web-wise and whatnot if we had, like Morro Bay only has three restaurants. Well, Morro Bay has 58 restaurants, but only three are members, so only three are on there, even though the TBID. So we've talked about this before, and other destinations have talked about it to the VCB. The county, looks as if it has 105 restaurants when the county has 1,000 restaurants, and we could be so much more. I mean, there's so much depth to our county tourism, and I would love to see that up there, so I would love to see, if something like this goes through, how that depth in our county would be exposed. I would like to see a plan for that. as the conversation progresses, I understand it's not there yet, but as the conversation progresses, I'd also like to know, in terms of the board structure, how that would change the board structure, because right now the board, if a bid like this goes through, I would tend to believe that the stakeholders who are putting that kind of money in would want a significant weight on the board that doesn't currently exist. I believe that it doesn't currently exist, or it may not. I'm also wondering about other partners within the county, where the wineries are in terms of a bid, a tourism bid for wineries or restaurants, or what the VCB is looking at in terms of other than just hotels. So I'd like to hear what that conversation is. And I'd like to, I know you've heard this over and over again, but Morro Bay is already at 3%. And I listened carefully to the other entities in the room at the presentation, and I did hear that, you know, maybe Wine Coast Country or San Luis Obispo County, they're feeling like at 2%, they could go to 3% or 3.25, and it wouldn't be a big deal. I'm wondering if, with Morro Bay already being at 3%, to sustain our own growth and to sustain our own tourism here in Morro Bay, what if there might be another plan for us? Like, could we get to a 0.25, a 0.5, so that we're evened out with the rest of the county and contribute that and still be a major player in this? And finally, I would like to know what the other municipalities, cities, not bids, are putting into their marketing effort. I know that at that meeting I asked that question, and I did hear from Paso Robles that their city matches their bid dollar for dollar for marketing. I think that's what she said.
That's incorrect information.
Pardon?
That's incorrect.
Okay, so I'd like to see what the other municipalities put in for regional marketing within the county for their restaurants and events and that kind of stuff, how they match, how they're currently matching the bids, so we can see what the whole marketing picture looks like in terms of rather than just the bid money. And I know that's a lot.
Right, well, let's start to break it down a little bit.
No, I think that's what I love about going last. I think they answered, they asked everything that I've got a lot of writings on, so I'll let Stacy do it, and then we can always go for round two if need be. But, and I know it's preliminary, Stacy, so I know you're being on the spot on something you've had a month to do, but this gives us a little bit of feedback.
Sure. Well, let me try to break down some of your questions. And
yes, John. I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry. I'm not good about you not being here. Dang it. That's what you get for being in Palm Springs. John Myers probably has a question, and he's on the line.
Yeah. Sorry, Stacy, for interrupting. I just wanted to get my two cents in. I think we might shortcut a little bit of this here. I mean, I think Joan raises a whole series of very good points, and there's a few more to be added. The one-size-fits-all kind of thing bothers me or concerns me a little bit that, you know, as she pointed out, Morro Bay is made up of a group of smaller, independently owned lodging establishments, which sometimes don't benefit from the broader spectrum of marketing that's going on across the county. But being that there's a whole good set of questions out there that need to be addressed, I think one more background issue is that Karen Moss, Joan, and I did go to the meeting at Cal Poly, and when Joan and I left there, we talked about the meeting and basically said we're two members of the subject to a Brown Act situation, so we could only speak to one additional person on our board, and so we decided that the best thing we could do was to bring this topic to discussion to the board at this meeting where we could determine a way forward. So we have not been able to participate at any of the meetings thus far because our entire board has not, we have not had the opportunity to bring our entire board up to speed on all the issues and all the information currently available. I think all these questions that are being posed right now are the questions that we need, well, I think we need to start participating in the task force activities, and by participation in the task force activities, we'll have the opportunity to raise all these questions and get the answers and bring them back to the board. So I think I'm not so much looking for to put Stacey or Noreen or anybody else on the spot right now, but more to look for direct
the structure of who we would assess. The task force has basically said that all properties who currently pay transient and occupancy tax that are within that jurisdiction that I had defined, which we define, for example, could be hotels, motels, RV parks, vacation rentals, B&Bs, could be members of this countywide effort. You had asked regarding wineries, restaurants, activities, all of those folks who currently are assessed a membership fee within Visit San Luis Obispo County. Our interest would be to be able to represent everybody. If we can create a sustainable funding model, our interest is looking at how we can maybe remove membership or look at a different tier or level of participation so that we're not limited by the confines of membership. I agree wholeheartedly with you. When we take a look at our website and see 102 restaurants on our website, there's a lot more restaurants here. We are limited right now by our own resources and our own dollars. That is just a function of the way we've been structured, making it very difficult to represent everyone equally from the limited dollars that we currently have going into the countywide effort. So I agree that that is a discussion that needs to be had as we move forward into this process. You had asked the question regarding the board structure. That is a question we're going to be addressing at the November 25th meeting on how essentially a 501c6, which is Visit San Luis Obispo County and a countywide business improvement district, how those board structures would complement, align, one be removed, how that process would work. I don't have the answer to that. That's why I need to rely on the expert, John Lambeth, who has done this 60 out of the 80 BIDs in the county. I know there are other examples of what we're dealing with, so he'll be able to help guide us in that. Your question regarding proper representation, as we currently do now, everybody who funds in terms of communities or BIDs, we do have a resource council seat for you on our board of directors. I anticipate some kind of fair share representation on the board as we work through what that board structure would look like. You had asked about what would we do differently with increased dollars. What we started doing actually Tuesday at our task force meeting was looking at a framework of a marketing plan. So we did not go into this blindly just saying give us more dollars. We truly are looking at assessing, and earlier when we started this process, we actually asked your executive director to provide us your marketing plan. Provide us the dollars you put into marketing with the goal in mind of let's not duplicate efforts, let's complement what we have going on here. So there's been a lot of discussion of, you know, maybe Visit SLO County with this, you know, increased dollar efforts. We should look at domestic markets that we're currently not touching right now. You know, we all know that the drive market is our number one target audience. That is probably what your marketing plan, I know it's what your marketing plan says. Let's look at the Valley. Let's look at Southern California. Let's look at the Bay Area. So maybe there's enough dollars throughout our seven BIDs that are currently existing going into those markets. Maybe a Visit San Luis Obispo County needs to look at markets like Denver, Colorado, which we're hoping to secure a new flight service coming in. Maybe Phoenix, where we currently have direct flight service coming in. So that's part of the discussion of the evolution of the marketing plan. We also really had a strong discussion on the international markets. So we work very closely right now with the Central Coast Tourism Council to try and hit these international markets. We actually just had a group of Germans in town. We had a group of Chinese operators in town. The hope is that we can continue complementing, doing things that you can't do on your own, reaching into new markets so that we're not all we don't always feel like we're behind, that we feel like we're starting to be on pace with that. So the development of that marketing plan, the conversation has begun. We are planning to launch and roll that out on January 17th in relationship with our Vision Tourism Workshop. And so two key dates for you is November 25th, which is when John Lambeth will come to answer some of those structural questions that we're talking about. And then on January 17th, we'll be able to take the knowledge that we've learned from John, start to put the pieces together, and then present what would be the wow factor of two very strong marketing engines working on your behalf. And so if you can work through us with that process and be part of that process, I really believe we're going to, when we get to the 17th, have a plan that actually has people fully engaged and at least be able to answer some of these questions that I really don't have answers to today. Joan, I hope I hit the majority of your points. Did I leave anything out?
Most of my points were, I understand that this is a work in progress and we're trying to get these answers going forward. So I don't think that you've touched on all of them, I think, in terms of role of the board and whatnot. I mean, all that is forthcoming. Forthcoming information needs to be worked out. But I have heard, I think, from several hoteliers that, you know, they're wondering how it would work. And I do have a question for you. Who is going to do, I guess it depends on who's going to be doing the reach out. In Morro Bay, only the hotels, motels, and one bed and breakfast participate in the bid. So in terms of RV parks, if you're going to be doing anyone who has taxable rents, RV parks in the 100 and, I have the number somewhere, I think it's 126 vacation rentals, who's doing the reach out and the effort on that? Because I don't see us having a task force strength to be able to do that internally.
Sure. So just also, if we already have jurisdictions in place and you found it successful where RV parks didn't want to be a part of it, we believe that may have changed. We know in some areas, vacation rentals are asking to be a part of the collective effort because they're seeing the great work that is happening. Those are dialogues that we need to have in each jurisdiction as we understand the makeup. Believe it or not, I don't know everyone's particular makeup and all of your nuances. So as we can have those dialogues, then we can say, okay, do you think there's any interest with those other groups? If there is, open the door and we can help advocate for that. If there's not, then let's just, you know, work within what we believe is success as step one.
Okay. I want to open it up to public comment also, but before I do that, I did have one thing I just want to put back on the task force, and we'll determine who's going to do that. The SAVER question. I'm very curious. I don't know if the board has decided to move forward with SAVER next year. If that hasn't been determined, obviously that's a little bit of an X factor. And then where SAVER and those costs fall into this whole thing too.
Sure. Well, your question is very, very timely. I spent all day yesterday with Sunset Magazine recapping 2013. They are very interested in wanting to move forward with 2014. Our board meeting next Wednesday will be fully recapping 2013 with, of course, the question at hand if the board is willing to move forward. So I cannot make that, I can't say that until that meeting, but do encourage you to attend that board meeting next Wednesday to be part of that dialogue for SAVER. It's at 8:30 at the Performing Arts Center in San Luis Obispo. And then with that, in terms of that, we'll go back into the development of the marketing plan. So SAVER is really always been asked by our constituents to be operated as its own entity, as this kind of major event. So there are discussions on, do we continue that effort? I think in the short term, in the next year, it will need to continue the way it's continued, because this process of a sustainable funding model may take us a year or more to get put into place. And so for your short-term planning, yes, we would love for you to be a part of SAVER. Thank you for your ongoing support of SAVER. But longer term, that's part of the dialogue, depending on where we end up with the sustainable funding efforts.
Okay, good answer. Okay, so I'm going to open it up for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak regarding the sustainable funding of Visit San Luis Obispo, please step forward. State your name.
Hello, John Solo again. First of all, I'd like to make a comment regarding one of the announcements that you made. As you're going through a new transition looking for a director, please make sure that this new director is more tech savvy and looking at 21st century instead of looking at some of the old stuff. We learned a lot through this year as to the progress that we've been, and I just hope that you do look at that in the future. Second of all, you know BID works. You can sit here and blame the economy. You can say the economy is the reason why we're up. But if you compare Morro Bay to the other communities, our occupancy's up, so we're actually gaining market share for the first time. Even though we're in last place in occupancy in the whole county, our percentage increases have gone. So you know BID works. And you know that I will stand on top of that desk that you're sitting with to say that, you know, having more eggs in the basket will work. You know that a few years ago, myself and a few other people have tried getting the county together. I believe in one voice. You have a woman here that spends 9 months begging, 3 months doing her job, and I think that's one of the big things that you need to look at. I think one of the biggest things that she hit on, which you should still keep hammering on, is what are you going to do with our money? That's going to be the key. And we can put this money in a hole and it'll go down and we'll never know where it went. If the money is well spent, why not spend it? You know it works because BID works, because we have gained market share. And, you know, I'm in full support of this thing. You can look at, see what happened with Pastor Robles just recently. Even though we're not getting the effect for it, but we are getting residual when Pastor Robles recognized one of the top wineries in the world. And one of the things that I'd like to correct you on, you know, we keep saying we're all small operators, and Morro Bay is a small operator. And I just sat there and talked with one of my counterparts out there in the public. There is one hotel in this county that's publicly traded in the stock exchange. Every inn, motel, hotel, full-service hotel in this county, other than Embassy Suites, who's owned by Pyramid Corporation, publicly traded company, is privately owned either by a family or a trust or a group of people. So we are all privately owned. So, yeah, we might be Morro Bay smaller, 23-room average, and, you know, the actual operators working at the desk and whatever. But you know what? You'd be surprised. 100-room hotels, Best Westerns out there, you might think it's a big conglomerate or a Courtyard that's a conglomerate. It's privately held, privately owned. So we're all privately owned. So that's a great excuse to put for Morro Bay, but it's not really a great excuse.
Legally, I think John Lambeth will know that. And as I state that, what I understand your predicament. I think at a 3% of small mom and pops and not having a real strong flag, I think there's ways behind the scenes possibly that there can be a compassionate buy-in over a period of time. I say that from Noreen Martin, not as the president of Visitors and Conference Bureau, but because it'll really determine what legally we can do. I think all the cities are, from what I can tell, are feeling the same way. They see that Morro Bay is in a dilemma. And they're not saying, well, if they don't play, we're not going to play. There's a real positive feelings toward going to a county identity out there. I think we know universally throughout the county that we have the right person. I think we all know that Stacey Jacob doesn't have to pull this plow the way she's doing out for an income. I think we all know throughout the county that she's been able to brand the identity of Paso Robles to a position where they were just announced Wine Enthusiast of the Year. She's been able to brand Paso Robles to the point where she was able to, you know, take it to a level that it was branded next to Sonoma Napa, which is unheard of for a small city. So with that stated, I think we know we have the right person. It's how are we going to fund this person so this person does not have to continue and beg on a consistent basis and take up 6 months out of the year. I just don't think she's personally interested in doing, in being creative in that fashion. So how do we get that figured out and go backwards to probably where we wish we all were whatever years ago when the county identity was, I don't want to use the word disbanded, but when we all had to recreate it. I think if all of us had to go backwards, we would say, geez, I wish we had kept that 1% over the county and given all of us back 1%, less duplication. And I'd just like to add one more thing, and I don't want to do it too loud because I don't know how many citizens are in this room, but we do need to assist each other without all the duplication. And I think that needs to be foremost on our mind this year. I have given every city the numbers, and what's really what's really happened is that each identity has created their own identity since 2011. The five top TOT players are all moving in the same little line, and I've just finished through 2012 and 11, and they're doing the same thing since 2010. So we're very fortunate that we're not trading dollars from one another anymore. So how do we get on the same page and find out not to do duplications? The county must be the vehicle that partners with the state of California. And then the county must be the vehicle to take our cities a higher level in brand recognition with all the things you stated. So I think it's a matter of forming this task force and finding out how to do it in a constructive way. That would be what I would have to say.
Okay, thank you, Noreen. Thank you. Any further public comment? No, anybody else? JP, no? No, okay. I've smiled well enough. I've begged. I was almost on my knees.
JP Patel, I've been honored actually to be asked to be on this task force, and I encourage everybody who can attend to attend the key meetings and get educated on the process that we are all going to have to go through. I think it's knowing the past history and doing this in the past, I keep on bringing up the history because of the pain and hurt that we all went through, that we don't make the same mistakes that we did again and again, and kind of create, get everybody together on the same page so they're all well-informed. And I think it's really important that you please try and attend as many of these meetings as possible so we can answer your questions, and also you can be part of the process in providing your innovative and creative ideas along with everybody else who's out there who's innovative and creative. And I think we can build a sustainable funding model that will probably, with the leadership, with Stacy's leadership and what I've seen her being able to do, is create something that nobody would ever believe that we could create as a vision. So please join us and join the task force or be part of the issue. Thank you.
Thanks, JP. Any further public comment? Okay, we're going to close public comment and bring it back to the board. Thank you. It's been our 3% BID, so that's just one thing I'm worried about. But I do think it's important we don't duplicate any efforts and what we're doing with the money. And I think when we talk about the small independent operators, we all in the whole county have that. I think what Morro Bay has that's so unique is the smallness, is the quaint and the small boutique style that's so much smaller. A lot of the other hotels have the larger hotels. They may still be operated and owned by a mom and pop or a small company, but they're usually much larger. And larger hotels means larger profits, so usually tends to be. So I'm going to go around the room and just poll the board if there's any other comments, and then if not, I think we need to move forward to a task force. I'm going to start with John Myers first so I don't forget him. John, you out there?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just think we just need to move forward, nominate somebody to represent us on the task force and just get going with it. Very simple.
Okay, Joan.
Well, first of all, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic, and I am looking forward to a fresh approach and a fresh perspective to the county funding mechanism and the county identity. I was there 5 years ago with JP and Noreen. I mean, we were all standing around together going, can we get this done? And, you know, to step back from it for a while sometimes is really, really healthy. And to come back around with fresh eyes and a fresh perspective and look at, you know, maybe the mistakes that we made and see how we can get through those mistakes and tack or change, I think that's very healthy. And I would be, cautiously conservative. I don't want to use the word conservative, but I would look at a more conservative aspect of how Morro Bay would participate or what we could do. So I do think that we do need to assign somebody to task force. We have to be part of the conversation or the county is not whole, period. And we have to be part of the county branding. We have to be part of the conversation in order to be able to do that. So I look forward to, having Morro Bay participate on the task force and be able to bring back information and answers to the good, solid questions that, you know, members of the audience and the board are asking.
Karen?
I think my initial thought is that the idea has merit. I certainly understand where the VCB is coming from, or Visit San Luis Obispo is coming from, in terms of trying to create something that's sustainable as opposed to having to adjust a budget each year depending on what the efforts to secure funds result in. I am concerned about going to 14 or 14 and a quarter, but I also think if there could be some rebate in terms of membership or saver or something like that, that is all paid for now by our bid. I don't know about bids from other areas, but by our bid, that it's certainly a possibility that our board could look at. I can certainly see the absolute need to have input on the task force from our board. Unfortunately, we're in a kind of a difficult situation with our executive director, which I think should give a great deal of input because we are going into a transitional period now. So I'm a little concerned about that, but I also know that creating a bid takes time. So it's not like we're going to have to, have something in place in the next month or two, that this is going to be an ongoing process, I think, over the next probably year. And I also think that there's a lot of things to work out in terms of the fact that we do have different levels, I think, of participation with the different bids in terms of the vacation rentals and RVs or overnight stays and who's participating in bids and how we work that out. So there's a lot of things. I think the key thing is going to be, though, the marketing plan. You know, that it's hard to do buy-in without knowing what we're buying in for. So I think it's, there's a lot of little details to work out, but the overall thing is going to be the marketing plan. So I'm glad to hear that you started working on that, and you'll have something, when we do get to the point where you need to know whether this is going to go forward or not with your individual bids or areas, that we'll have something to look at in terms of what you're going to do for us. So great. It's a good idea.
Nick?
Yes, I just wanted, most of the points have been covered that but, being involved in task force is critical. I think maybe some flexibility because, trying to cover all communities with one blanket, let's say, is tough because
the only hesitation I've got is, as you know, I'm out of town a lot, as this phone call represents, which means Joan would probably have to go to more meetings, make sure she would attend the meetings that I'm not at. But if she was okay with that, I would be happy to go ahead and take up that responsibility.
Hi, John. I'd be happy to work with you on that. I'm wondering if the board would be so inclined, and I'm not trying to throw you under the bus, John Sorgenfrey, but I'm wondering if the board would be so inclined to have John attend some of the meetings when it comes towards the marketing plan and those efforts and that kind of thing as we make the transition that we'll be making in terms of if we have a lag time. And I'm wondering if John might be interested in attending those meetings in terms of being able to give us his professional insights. I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but I think it would be helpful for both John Sorgenfrey and I to have somebody there as a background support with that.
I'd be happy to do that. I will frankly be there for my other clients as well. This is obviously a very important thing, as it relates to all the different BIDs. It's very exciting, to see that we're moving toward some of the things that I think Stacy needs from support. So I plan to attend, the meetings that were just discussed, the 25th, the 17th.
Oh,
so I'll be happy to go to those and give you my opinions.
Okay. Great. So
I think that definitely helps the situation because while we're in a transition, we have John as part of our team, and he's going to stay on as our, team
right.
member in
going
the future.
Forward, right.
So it helps to make, I think, also our transition easier with this information.
Great suggestion, Joan. I agree with that. And then, like you said, and from a marketing standpoint, we're going to get the marketing stand. We're going to have a hotelier. We're going to have a non-hotelier, and then we would have the marketing side of things. So if the board's comfortable with that, I don't know if we necessarily need a motion to – I look to our non
– okay. The city here.
Okay.
So
I know, and that's why I'm like,
you know
I look
what?
To us.
It's better to be safe than sorry in terms of
doing something correctly under the –
So I'd look for a motion.
Brown Act.
Well, then I would move to assign or appoint John Myers and Joan Solo to our task force with help with John Sorgenfrey.
I will second that. All in favor, and I'm going to roll call. John?
Aye.
Joan?
Aye.
Michelle?
Aye.
Karen?
Aye.
Nick?
Aye.
Okay, so we have a 5-0 in favor. So, Stacy, the three of them you can continue to work with, and thank you for coming out. And with them on task force, obviously, then we won't have to make you come out and waste more time coming out to the community. So we thank you for all your hard work and everything you guys are doing on the county level, and keep it up, and we'll be in touch for sure.
Thanks, Stacy. Thanks, yeah. JP. Thanks, Noreen. And board members, I would just ask that the questions that you had here today, that you would put them into an email format and send them to myself, John, and John, so that we can have those questions written down moving forward. It's going to be super helpful.
Wonderful.
And we'll share them with Stacy.
Yes. Okay. Moving on. We will move on to presentation of Executive Director's Report, and Karen has been sick, so Peter is going to go through the Executive Director's Report and move us forward. What I'd love to do, Peter, could we have Ed do the Visitor Center maybe sooner so that Ed doesn't have to sit here through our whole meeting, even though I know he loves us, but maybe we could have Ed do the Visitor Center first, and then you can move into the Executive Report. Is that okay with you? Okay, so Ed, if you want to come up with the Visitor Center report, then that way he can get back to work, because love him attending our meetings, but...
Thank you. Is the mic on? Good morning, esteemed board members and Madam Chair. It's a pleasure always to talk to you about the Visitor Center, as you know. Last month, if you remember, I predicted that we'd go over 10,000 visitors. Do you remember that? Well, we've done it. And as a matter of fact, as of yesterday, we are almost at 11,000. So we have serviced almost 11,000 visitors to Morro Bay this year at the Visitor Center. And I must say also the service that they've received, the information they've received, has been far different than in the past, because it's a lot more personal, it's a lot more direct, and it's a lot more meaningful to the information that they're asking for. So we were able to pinpoint exactly what they want rather than a lot of general information, which we also give out. But when they come for specific information, someone came in the other day and wanted to know, do we have a Starbucks? We're able to point them right at the Starbucks. Where's the supermarket? We're able to do those kinds of things. So I'm very grateful for the Visitor Center, the way it's working and the way it's operating, and you can be proud of it also. A few observations. Want to display their advertising material at the Visitor Center. We have a limited space still left. And that's my brief report. If you have any other questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Does anybody have any questions for Ed?
I don't have any questions for you, Ed, but I do have to say that it's not lost on me that you've noticed that we've had an insurgence of young female travelers. You're so charming.
Yes, I take note of all the travelers, but also...
Thank you for your charm and wit.
Yes. I do get...
John Myers, do you have any comments for Ed?
It's kind of a supportive. I stopped in the Visitor Center to do something last week or the week before, and some visitors came in. Ed was absolutely correct. They were attractive young ladies.
It's just my charm, John.
But Bill was on duty at the time, and while I worked in the back office, I heard what was going on. And I got to say that the professionalism and the guidance and the help that were given to our visitors was really good. I think any visitor walking out of that Visitor Center would be very pleased with that experience.
Thank you, John.
Karen, I'll go Nick.
I think the only question I have is we keep coming around to the point that the Visitor Center is doing a great job in terms of servicing restaurants and activity areas around the county. But we don't have a lot of requests for rooms. Is there anything that you can think of that we could do in the Visitor Center or maybe in our advertising that might stimulate that a little bit?
The information that we give out at the Visitor Center is requested by the visitor. So if they are predisposed to need a room, we certainly can do that, and we recommend hotels and we have information to give them. But we respond to their requests. So the marketing we do outside of the Visitor Center beforehand is going to produce the room revenue that you folks need, not necessarily the Visitor Center after the fact. It's got to be done beforehand. The people who come to Morro Bay, for the most part, in that visitor center, are not staying in Morro Bay. They're not staying here. And that's a fact. They come through. They're here for. They come and they want. They come to the visitor center because they're here for an hour or two. Oh boy, how do we compact what we have and how do we maximize our time here? So they go to the visitor center and say, I'm here for an hour. I'm passing through. I'm on my way to Hearst Castle. I've got 2 hours. What should I see? What shouldn't I miss? That's what the visitor center does. And for the most part, that's what we do a good job of. When they ask for lodging, we're there. But although you folks support the visitor center to a degree, we're not basically a booking agent for hotels. We just aren't. Because we give the people who come in, the visitors who come in, the information they request.
No, it's a good observation, and I think it's important that the city, and we all understand it's a city service. It's not necessarily for the hotels.
And if they like what they see, if we send them up to, say, Black Hill or down to the Embarcadero, and they walk along and they see this nice area, and they see the motels down there, and they go to Hearst Castle, and next year when they come back for vacation, they might say, hey, instead of staying in Cambria, or instead of staying in Pismo, let's try Morro Bay. Mm-hmm. They're very friendly. They're very nice. They've got a great place. So we give them their first taste. It's an exposure. It's an appetizer. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do.
Nick?
Yeah, I was just at the visitor center a few days ago, and I'm just so impressed with the way it looks in there and how fortunate we are to have the staff there that doing such a great job. I would just encourage hoteliers and businesses to get their information to that visitor center. I mean, it's really a marketing tool for the city, and if you have a hotel or a restaurant or other activities based business, you should have information there for people to have when they come in and take advantage of that that facility and introduce yourself and get to know the people there, because it's really a huge asset for Morro Bay. I just couldn't be happier the way that visitor center is being run and the way it's only been there for less than a year, and it just looks great. So continued good work.
Thank you for your nice comments, Nick. In closing, I might say one thing about the hotels. If people come into the visitor center, we do get some that come in late in the afternoon and they say, oh, what a nice place. Sun setting. I was going to go to Cambria, but hey, I think, or maybe San Simeon, let's stay in Morro Bay. Can you recommend a hotel or where are the hotels? We have a rack strictly dedicated to lodging. And many times they want something on the waterfront. They want, then budget's not an issue. Many times they don't have a lot of money. They want a clean motel and they don't want to spend a lot of money and they don't want a lot of amenities.
Fresh. Look for the winters. We go into the slow months. It might call some more attention. So if the board is not against that, I'd like to ask our landscaper. I could give our landscaper a call and ask him to do some fall color in there.
Karen's already reached out to Gaffney.
She has.
Yes.
Good. Perfect.
I saw there
okay.
was an email loop that I got CC'd on, and she had left him a message about that.
Thank you for that, John Myers.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Okay, now we will move on to Peter, to the executive director's report. Thanks, Peter, for doing that. Thank you, Ed. I wanted to make sure Ed could get back down to the visitor center.
Hello, my name is Peter. I'm an assistant to the executive director. So I'll be basically going through very briefly of what she was going to present. We've done some advertising efforts. As you can see here, we have the Enter to Win Discover Morro Bay Getaway. This is on our website, and it's also listed in the Sunset Magazine Travel Directory. And then we have our Big Shop Local campaign, which consists of social media, advertising, publicity, and special events. As part of that campaign, we have the ad in the New Times Holiday Guide. We also have the special inserts in the Tolosa Press. I have an example of the November one to show you. And then we have a specially themed restaurant month promotion that'll be coming up, which is obviously countywide. I think it's a statewide thing as well. So that'll be really good to tie into. And then we have a two-sided promotional card, and I have an example of that too. There's also the Morro Bay Holiday Stroll, which will be on December 7th, and I think it starts at 2 p.m. at the Visitor Center. And, you know, there'll be hot cider and hot chocolate, that sort of thing. And it's the community coming together, and we'll be walking the block to, and all the local shops will be out with Christmas trees, and hopefully they'll be joining us and just giving out cookies, and it's a nice holiday celebration. And then that's, of course, followed by the Lighted Boat Parade. So this is the community map, and as you can see, it has all the businesses up to date listed. It's got a map by block, so you'll see a number. These are available at the Visitor Center. We can also distribute them to hoteliers if they give us a call. We can bring that out to you. Just has all the businesses listed. And then this is the insert, the November insert for the Tolosa Press. And then this is the two-sided promotional card, which has some upcoming events, as you can see, including the Bird Festival in January. And then a website update, we have a blog that will be launched in December, and it's going to be authored by Ruth Ann Angus, and it's going to be about, we're going to spend about $200 a month to do that, and there'll be updates on events, nature, restaurants. I think the first update she mentioned will have a little bit of history about Morro Bay, so it'll probably be really good for the searchability of the website, and you know, obviously keep new content coming to the website, so more reasons for people to visit regularly. And also an update on the info board. I believe the board has a one page that we sent out that kind of explains what the info board does. It's supported by advertisers. It doesn't cost anything to the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. Basically, from what I understand, it gets used in the evenings mostly because you can't see it during the day. People can look up restaurants and hotels, activities in Morro Bay using the touchscreen. And tracking what people are doing on there is a little bit difficult. Hotels can actually link back to the board and see how many people are coming to their website from the board. Other than that, setting up a tracking system on the touchscreen would be cost prohibitive. They can find weather and all that. So then there's a certified folder update. We have recently talked to certified folder and redistributed a lot of our rat cards. I know San Diego is one of the big ones where they're not getting used, probably because there's not a direct flight from San Diego. So redistributing our rat cards from there to other places, and we also sent out a lot more. I brought several heavy boxes over to the UPS, so they're going out. Roughly 12,000 distributed. And this is a database of leads. These are some, you know, what we've collected from the Bakersfield Heart Association back in the beginning of the year, and then Sunset Celebration all the way through the Oyster Festival. So we have over 2,500 leads collected in the past 8 months. And then this is a letter from the Harbor Festival. This, I think.
So as we're doing this, what I wanted to provide for you, and also speaking with Karen, was to kind of a recap of sort of where we've been since August, which basically we latter part of July, early August, we came to help out. And so with that, some of the things we've done, we developed a new revised budget, working with the budget subcommittee and the executive director. We produced the new approved media plan, which I'll have more detail to pass out to you in a moment after I conclude the slides. We directed social media program, conducted an audit analysis, as you're all aware, of the MorroBay.org website, which was really the primary reason we were brought in initially. And we produced a strong call to action creative, as Peter showed you, and I'll go in a little bit more about that as well. So as we look at the media budget, you know, how was that changed and revised? And this is just a brief snapshot, but we wanted to increase the online efforts, eliminate some of the print. So we produced or put more dollars toward YouTube advertising, Facebook advertising, Google AdWords. And again, this was working with the budget subcommittee and the board itself. And then LA Times, San Jose Mercury News.com, Sunset.com, and VisitCalifornia.com are all components of that too, which were originally in the plan. And then we increased the website budget again through the approval of the various committees. And I think that's important to note, this was one of Carl Roboto's recommendations as well, so that coincided with the audit that he did. And then it increased the public relations budget as well, which was another Carl Roboto recommendation. So I think it's nice that some of the things that, and I know you have Carl Roboto's study on there later in the agenda, but it's nice that some of the things that he saw, you know, coincided with what we were doing. So this kind of gives you an overview of the budget. And again, I have a more detailed two documents that I'll pass out to you for your review. But this kind of shows where we're at to date as far as the, you can see the level of print that we're committed to, which is very low. There are still some really good quality print publications that we want to be involved in, Sunset being the predominant one. But you can see the online efforts are the primary ones, and then other media and then other promotions. And you can see the degree of commitment there. Thus far, so we are out placing ads and currently, you know, utilizing the media plan. So again, just as a review, what we discovered, you know, coming onto the website, that we saw a decrease in the lodging referrals, which was the probably the most important thing we looked at, and then also Facebook results were small relative to the past 2 years, and then lower YouTube views. So those are all three areas that we wanted to concentrate on and see what we could do. So with those tactics, SEO work began in August to increase visits and search placement for Google. Facebook postings emphasis and improved tactics on social media. And then also to kind of give us a nice jump start, as you saw earlier, the Facebook ads to grow the fan base. So website highlights to date. And Rick is going to be giving you your normal stat report, but this is just kind of, again, a snapshot of where we are now. We've now seen a 10% increase in lodging referrals, the first time positive since 2013. So that was the area that we were really wanting to see an improvement. We have a 22% increase in the total visitors to the network site and mobile site combined, and 50% increase in the hotel listings page. And this is, again, the first time since 2003 that we've been able to see that kind of number of increase. And then a 19% increase in organic searches. Again, that would be where we show up in Google. So commend Rick and, you know, his talents that we've been able to, we are now turning that corner. We, you know, kind of stabilized it. Now we're actually starting to see some good increases. And for social media, I'm going to have Casey come up and take you through this. But the great thing, I mean, the most simple goal here has been to increase fans, and we've doubled the fan base since we started in August. And we're real happy with that because we really wanted to make Facebook become a top referral site for moralbay.org. And I think we're going to get there.
It's very inexpensive.
And the young lady that did that, Casey, will now come up and take you through this program.
Hi, Casey Knighton. And I'm just going to go back one click because I do want to point out that we've also increased the engaged users per day. That's people who are interacting, liking, and commenting on the content. Anything adventure-related, travelers who are currently traveling, we can target, and anyone interested in travel photography.
I have a question. Yeah. You know, I have a Facebook page, and my business has a Facebook page, so I'm still kind of learning through this. And I get these, I see these pop-ups because, you know, I'm obviously friends with, is it more, it's Moralbay?
CA.
Okay, Moralbay, right.
CA for California.
Now, when you say targeted, do these posts just appear on people's Facebook pages in those areas, or how do they, or do they have to be friends to get the post, or how does that?
So they don't have to be a friend, and I have it set up to target two different ways. One, just pulling from those categories. So if a user has liked adventure travel and been searching for that type of information, we can show up in their newsfeed. And the other way is if, say, you are a fan of Morro Bay, it might target your friends and say, Nick is a fan of Morro Bay, you might also like this page as well if you have similar interests.
Okay.
So there's the two different ways.
All right. Thank you.
And then the other way for growing the Facebook ads is I did put the event tab on the Facebook page so that we can consistently keep it with the website, posting those events and encouraging visitors to stay for the weekend, not just come for the day for the event, and always making sure that the lodging link is prominent on the page and included in the post. So when we do a promoted post and the visitors are seeing, or not the visitors, but the fans that we're targeting, the link will show up in the post as well, and it just encourages them to click the lodging link and make a reservation. This is something fun that I just always like to share is the most popular post at the time. Just shows the potential of what we have to reach. 59,000 people, over 59,000 people saw this post, and it does have the lodging link. The reason it weighs so heavy is the photos in Facebook's Edge rank weigh heavier, and are more people are tended to like and share and comment, and it brings it higher up in the newsfeed. There was 72 link clicks out of that straight to the lodging page, but people are still inclined to search for our lodging off of that as well.
Can you read that post?
It says, experience the beautiful fall weather in Morro Bay. Book your stay today at bit.ly.com/Morro Bay Lodging. Bit.ly.com is just the link shortener, and it just looks cleaner when it's done that way. And then, of course, the photo credit, photo by Jennifer Longo. And so there was over 1,800 likes, 39 comments, and 162 shares, so just reaching out to those.
Is this a sponsored post or story, or is this just it's straight?
So half of it was already linked for 2 weeks without being sponsored, and then once we start the targeted ads, it pulls from when I said that if Nick were to say that he liked the page and it was showing in his newsfeed, it might pull that post and say that Nick liked this specific post, mm-hmm. and then you would see that. But it all Facebook targets to which they think will gain the most response.
Very good.
And then TripAdvisor, I'll read this to you as well. Just an example of what we talked about, Joan, how going in and blogging, we can grab new visitors. And this was a post from somebody who had said, I'm not sure where to visit on Highway 1, traveling through. Do I stay in Morro Bay? Do I stay in San Simeon? And I said, hi, Veronica. Morro Bay would be a great stop for you. You're able to experience the beauty and the charm. Activities such as kayaking, biking, fishing, beachcombing, and just plain relaxing. With our busy harbor and active fishing industry, Morro Bay is known as the place in San Luis Obispo County to savor local seafood, including local oysters and fresh salmon. Surrounding farms and vineyards yield a bounty of outstanding food and wines served with flair at Morro Bay's renowned Harbor View restaurants. Of course, camping, Of course, capping it off at Morro Bay, friendly, laid-back style, a warm and welcoming backdrop for the vacation of your dreams. And then she responded to that, thanks, we have definitely decided to stay in Morro Bay. It's close to the Embarcadero. We're very excited. So it's just kind of some like assurance that it is working, and thank you, Joan, for the suggestion to go ahead and do that as well. Moving on to YouTube, there's over close to 32,000 lifetime views. Since July, it's increased by 6,000, and that was the end of July through October, so about 2,000 views per month, which is a good number, and then about 5,500 estimated minutes watched, and that's also from July, not overall. And we're also doing targeted YouTube ads, which are the same type of using the same criteria from the Facebook, the 5-hour driving radius, the same type of category. So the way it shows up, if somebody is searching, the top one is in stream. If they search Central Coast or if they search California Adventure Tourism or one of those categories in targeted words, it'll show up at the top as a promoted video that they may like to watch. It might be something that they're searching for. Or in the same, if they search
YouTube.
Definitely. That would be a good YouTube post and something that we could look at using for targeted ads as well. And then just to keep up with the social media, how it's always changing, I created the Instagram page. That's just a layout of how it looks when you search it online. It's used mostly by mobile devices, but you can go also to instagram.com/MorroBayCA and view it from any desktop. And what I've been doing is pulling pictures off of the website and pulling fan photos, anything like that, and just giving credit. And something that's just kind of fun to see is when I was at my social media conference, I learned a new app that you can view the photos that you've liked and instantly repost them to your Instagram account, and it gives a overlay of photo credit and says Insta repost because it's called Instagram. And I've noticed that certain companies are starting to catch on to that and follow that. And I like to think that I was the first, and that it's because like they're thinking it's a good idea and they're researching and trying to figure out what program that I am using. But it's always good when you start to see other people taking on that same thing, because you know that you're doing something right. So there are 128 followers. I've posted 23 photos, and there's 462 photo likes and 24 comments. And then Pinterest, just keeping up also in the social media world, there's 148 followers. The boards that you can click on resemble what is on the website with the same name categories: stay, eat, play, events. There's also contact us, holiday inspirations, just to throw some fun things in there that people can click and repin. And then, of course, fan photos or pictures we like, where we can search Morro Bay and repin them to our wall. And the fans that want to just look at photos and see what's going on in Morro Bay can click there. There's been 135 repins of the boards, and there's 121 ports, or 121 pins, so a little bit over one pin has been repinned, and their fan base has seen that. So that's just a good way to keep increasing our reach. And that's it for me.
Thank you, Casey. Great job.
So actually, I did see that video. I know you sent it to me, but also it's at the airport. So I watched it at the airport, and it's very well done. And I wish I would have had this video today, but we tried to interview Neil, and I guess he wasn't available, so we missed the deadline to show it to you. But we did a nice video of the Oyster Festival, so I'll have that for you at the next meeting. And again, we don't have a lot of creative to show. One of the reasons that we, you know, predominantly the creative is online, and to have success with online advertising, you really need a strong call to action. So we wanted to do a contest. We set up a landing page. So this is the Discover Morro Bay Getaway, and then they'll go to the lodging section and they'll pick their particular hotel. And as you know, Karen has a budget for that, so that's how that would be fulfilled. So there'd be a degree of fairness there. But that's the creative to date. And then I just had this last slide because at some point we probably need to talk about the creative. I think that this is something you guys are all aware. I mean, I think we need to kind of redefine this brand. I know that it's Discover, and I know that we have the logo, but, you know, there's some cases where we've said Destination Morro Bay, Discover Morro Bay. There is the Carl Roboto study, which we could, you know, take a look at. I think it would be good to have a little retreat or whatever we want to call it, but, you know, spend some time. And then my goal would be to have a couple of templates that are set up so we're not reinventing the wheel every time we want to do a new ad. We're not coming up with new creative, not only for the benefit of cost, but also for the benefit of branding, that we come up with a template that we're all agreeable to. We look at what we want to say. And again, this all gets back to what is our unique selling point. And I know that I bring this up, but Discover Your Better Nature was obviously one that we had for many, many years. I think that's a very good example of a strong brand, because that brand, Pismo Beach, could not really utilize that. There's other, you know, areas and communities that really wouldn't be able to do that. So I learned this in my very first advertising class, is that whatever we do, we want to make sure our competitor couldn't put it on their ad. You know, we haven't done our job if we don't have that uniqueness. So don't have any solutions for that today, but I think it's just something that we might all want to talk about in the very near future, of having this kind of creative retreat. And then obviously the short-term structure without the executive director, obviously that's going to need to be addressed. I'm happy to help in what I can. Of course, you know, your guys are going to decide whether you do a contracted basis. I mean, all that's your decision, not mine. But it has been helpful to have an executive director to go to and get approvals on. And so I'm flexible, but things you want us to do, just be good to get those addressed. And but we're real happy with, you know, where we are right now. I hope you guys are. And there's a lot more to do. But I wanted to pass out these documents for the budget, too, so we can go over that real briefly. And then I'm going to have Rick come up and give you your web stats.
Yeah. He's going to go over all of this, I think.
So there was a suggestion to have this up on the screen. Would the mystery men behind the curtain help me here? And John, I apologize. I should have emailed these to you, but I will get those to you today because I know this is a big part of what we've worked on together.
Yeah, are these similar to the numbers that you and I talked about last week?
Yeah, this is basically just, and again, I think there's still probably some tweaking that needs to be done, but I just wanted to be able to show the board where we are kind of with the budget, what we've, you know, currently been spending. This first document, because I don't have my glasses. If you turn the lights down, I'm toast.
It's
going to
get dark, right?
Well, if it goes dark, I'm going to need it.
Why don't you go use the end microphone there, and then I can make sure they can see it at home. If you're up there.
Oh, with the light?
I guess yeah, with the light.
Oh, I can read with my glasses.
The black and the red in the landscape.
He's trying to...
Is it the...
Wait. Okay.
Spent?
I think
it must be the spent. Yeah. It's just one's broken up by month and the other's overall. Excellent.
Okay, so the first document you have is really just a snapshot of the different media. So you see Sunset Magazine, and then you see where it shows the degree of spent. And you have the other document, which denotes the months in which those are spent. So really when I say spent, it's committed. So in other words, you know, we really have pretty much spent for January, yet we're committed, you know, we have a schedule to run for Sunset, and a lot of that media that's placed is based on, you know, a three-timer eight, so it's, in that sense, it's committed. The Slo County Visitor's Guide is an example of that as well. That has been spent. And then you go down and you can see that we're just starting to chip away at Google AdWords. LA Times is more of a spring effort. San Jose Mercury News, we've spent 12,000 out of the 33, so that's, again, to kind of get us initially started for the fall campaign. Visit California is another one of those examples. If you look on the other sheet, you'll see where that takes us through for various months. And on down the line, I won't go through each item. And then as we look at social media, it looks like it's all spent. Well, it's not really spent. That's on a monthly basis, but it is committed since we're going to be hopefully doing this through June. And the same thing is also true for the web maintenance and development. It's that money has not all gone away, but it's committed. So we'll be doing that on a monthly basis. And then if you go to the second document, you'll see basically a little bit more detail as it specifies and takes you through the campaign through till June. And that, again, shows the degree of where it's spent, but also denotes what month it is. And I'll be real honest with you, this still needs some tweaking, but I wanted to provide this for you just to let you know, kind of give you a picture of what we've been doing. And then also the bottom part on the second page, where it has starts off with billboard. I didn't commit any of those dollars, even though I know some of that's been spent, like your funding for the VCB, things like that. I just didn't touch that because I really don't know. So really what you're seeing here are the dollars that I've been responsible for, that you give me the responsibility for. I have a knowledge of those. So probably what would be good, and I don't know if there's a motion necessary for it, but take these documents to the budget subcommittee. I'll, you know, go down, sit down with the budget subcommittee, take out some of these numbers, and then you'll have a real clear picture. And I know John and I talked about we wanted to make sure that my budget was the destination budget coincided with what his dollars were, and they did, because he looked at an overall number, but when you see these other items that I'm not involved with, that's what elevates the budget. So I'm very aware that I'm working off of one media budget, and then there's budget dollars for various other things as well. And then finally, the last part would be to, and this gets back to that slide about where we go from here.
The reason John's budget is $290,000, and we had a $250,000 destination media buy in our budget. And the difference is that those two items, the $50,000, I think when John and I talked last week, the contingency of $30,000, John, I think, took it as the old fire sale number, whereas in our budget, that contingency is actually a financial contingency. We based our revenues on increasing the assessment by 10% this year. If we do not reach that target, we would use that financial contingency to offset whatever we didn't make in our target. So that contingency really needs to come out of the total other media number. As far as the $20,000 for the co-op advertising and marketing, I had that budgeted as part of the bureau spend as opposed to part of the agency spend. Which side that goes on, it really doesn't make any difference to me. We just need to figure out where that's going to reside, whether it's going to be a bureau spend or an agency spend. And then lastly, and this is kind of good news, I guess, is John has budgeted public relations at $20,000 and social media at $9,960. We've also budgeted those same amounts, $20,000 and $10,000 for PR and social media, under the agency spend, or excuse me, under the bureau spend. So I think we have an additional $30,000 of destination marketing spend for John to take up in the future. I mean, we've spent the same money budgeted the same money in two places, and we only need to obviously budget in one place, and that total is $30,000. So we actually have more money to spend in destination marketing than it appears here. John, next week or a few days, I'll call you. We can talk through that.
Yeah, I apologize, John. I should have got you these documents. But I'll send those to you today. And then I think that with the contingency, and again, those who have worked with us in the past, you know, I'll come to you and get board approval before I'd ever spend that money. So, but it's good to know.
What I'm just thinking is we take the extra money that's budgeted for PR and social media, which totals $30,000, and just convert that into contingency for you under destination marketing.
Right.
And then we've got a financial contingency, and we've got a marketing or fire sale contingency as well then.
Right, understood.
Perfect. That makes sense.
Other than that, John and I have gone over these numbers, and I'm comfortable that they're totally in line with the budget that the board approved at a couple of meetings ago.
And again, I think that, you know, there could be some additional tweaking because some of these dollars are obviously spent. What I really wanted to show you today was just kind of where we're at, what we've spent, so you know that we're out marketing, as you guys directed. I think Joan's comment was, John, go out and start spending money.
That was my comment.
I assure you we are. We're doing it very prudently and wisely, hopefully. So
go shopping.
That was the term.
John, do you have anything else before I go to Joan?
No, that's fine, I think.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Joan, go ahead.
I'm glad we're looking at that contingency. I think it might be helpful to leave, now I'm speaking to both John and John here, but we've the TJA John Sorgenfrei line maybe under the word contingency, and perhaps change our operating reserve to the word reserve, which would, you know, in terms of our budgets being public, when other people look at them too, they wouldn't be thinking that we had two contingency lines in there. It's just, it's the matter of a word, but it makes a giant difference in terms of perception and understanding. But it's just a concept that the board can either agree with or not agree with. And other than that, I'm glad that we're, you know, I mean, this is a board that creates revenue and then spends that revenue to create more revenue, and I'm glad that we're moving in that direction.
I think it's probably good for the benefit of people who aren't aware, and that's one reason why we had a fire sale, which we sort of got rid of some time ago, but it really was for that purpose, because as you all know, you know, Sunset Magazine might call us, and this is another reason, again, to have approved creative that we're ready to go with immediately. They'll call and say, I had somebody drop out, and this $10,000 ad is now, you know, $5,000. Would you like to take advantage of it? There's a couple of provisions for that, though, that, you know, one is you got to take advantage of it right away, and also then you also have the you have to supply the ad right away. So that's why we have that, you know, whatever that term would be, but it's to take advantage of media opportunities.
The first year we did, we operated with $125,000 operating fire sale. We called it fire sale /contingency.
And contingency. So we know it's to take advantage of those marketing opportunities as they come up. And then below the line, the financial reserve, we've really called that a financial contingency, because that's exactly what it is. It's if we don't meet our revenue targets, that's where we're going to go to make up the difference. And if we adopt those two terms, I think that would be most helpful going forward.
And I think that line for financial needs to be reserve, not contingency.
Well, it's not a reserve. It's a contingency. Because it's not going into reserves. It will be used this year in the event that we do not meet our revenue targets. And, for example, if you look at September, our TOT growth was only 5%, so we did not meet our financial targets. We know we will use part of that contingency to cover that.
Okay.
I think the difference is a reserve sits there forever like a savings account in case of a major disaster, and a contingency is more of a flow in terms of, but it's cash flow, right? And all I'm trying to do here is make sure that since these budgets are public, that we do exactly what John Meyer said, which was not make it look like we have a duplicative, mm-hmm. Line, and we're not duplicating parts of our budget or storing double amounts, because it happens to be the exact. It's because it's the exact same number there. We confused ourselves in our own communication, so we need to make sure that, you know.
Or you could just have a parenthesis say, John, not to spend.
John, not to spend. John, don't spend this. Don't shop with this.
Don't touch this. Not for you.
Karen, do you have any questions for Sorgenfrei?
No. I really like the format that you've used here, both of them. One for the quick glance and then the detail by month. I'm assuming that some of the things that are listed in prior to November but mm-hmm. haven't been paid for mm-hmm. are the placements gone through. The invoices haven't come in yet. So,
right.
So that's great. I did have a question on the TripAdvisor, and I know we've gone around about this a couple of times. On the TripAdvisor line, the ending budget is $1,430, and then on the TripAdvisor placement, is that the $1,430 that would be the balance remaining then of what the overall budget was for TripAdvisor placement? And this is the online? I think it's the page, the sponsor
looking
page,
at it,
or
the way
or
I'm
banner
looking at it,
or
I think it's
like
balance
that.
Remaining. Because see, the column says up at the top,
yeah.
balance remaining.
Okay.
So that's my assumption.
So we've actually spent, let's say, 16 and 23, about probably $24,000.
And
have committed $24,000.
Right,
and
a big part of that is that part of that is your destination module. that's a fixed cost, that's a year subscription. So that's probably, you know, you have a kind of bigger upfront cost because you're buying that. And that was something that I've sort of inherited too. I didn't, but that's part, what that part is.
Okay. Nick, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. You know, on the under online at the bottom, it says Facebook ads, and then, but then there's also social media. How is that different between
the the social media is what Casey does on a pretty much day-to-day basis, the postings, the management.
Oh, post updates.
The ads themselves are just like media, where we have a certain amount of money. And how that works is you usually have like a budget. You know, you'll say, well, I have $1,500 to spend, and it's on a kind of a bidding process, sort of like Google AdWords. But the nice thing about both YouTube and Facebook is, and for whatever reason, they haven't caught on yet to start charging a lot of money, so it's really affordable.
Okay. You know, the lastly, too, affordable is good. Yeah, I like the format, and I think, you know, as a board, we've kind of been just going blind. We really didn't know where the money was going. We've been waiting for this, and I know there's been some delays in the budget, and that's why we weren't getting updated, but I'm happy that we kind of know where we're at now. We've got the blinders are off, and we can see kind of where we're at, so it's really and I really like the format too.
Good. Yeah. There's still a few adjustments because if you'll see like Bakersfield Life, we were going to place an ad. We didn't do that. And one of the reasons for that was because I didn't feel comfortable that we had the creative together enough to do that. So I sort of took it upon myself. And also those are long leads. So probably part of that too is we'd probably already passed the deadline when the budget was approved. But I'll readjust those as recommendations and then plot those properly.
Could we still do something for the March and May issues?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of what I was going to think. I was thinking about doing is just place those back towards spring then.
Okay. John, in the past, and I'm sure Rick can attest to this, I remember constantly seeing National Geographic. I'm thinking about that since we have so much adventure that we're trying to capitalize on here, if we're thinking about that one at all.
Yeah, I think maybe with looking at that contingency, you know, and how we might spend some of that, National Geo was really strong for us. I think for Morro Bay, it makes a lot of sense compared to other destinations, so we can look at that. There is some, you know, there might even be an instance where we want to do some co-oping because, you know, they have like that called Best of the West, and it looks at it like editorial. And when you have modules, you know, if you recall, there's like four spaces on a full page, and you can buy one of those spaces, maybe do something with offering, you know, some of the hoteliers an opportunity to go into that and have Morro Bay kind of pick up the first part of the cost. We could explore that because I know those Best of the West things is what we used to do, and they work really well because running a page in National Geo Traveler is very, very expensive, but you can – plus, you're buying nationally, whereas those Best of the West, you just get the 11 Western states. So we could reexamine that. I could put a proposal together for that.
On their site, they have banner ads and stuff, too, now that I was looking at. This is a while ago, though. This is not like yesterday I was looking. This is a while ago. And I don't know if that's something we can afford or not, but it might be. It's just that whole Carl Roboto thing talked about all these niche markets and that adventure nature. Discover your better nature that just so suits us.
You know, the other one we did had some pretty good success with too, which we could re-explore is Sierra Magazine, the Sierra Club magazine. We ran, there were little tiny ads, but they produced. But we can look at that. But I agree with you. National Geo was a good resource for it.
Okay, so before I know Rick's going to come up. Oops, sorry. I've done that twice now. Before Rick comes up, I was going to have Karen do some TOT. I do think next steps, we do need to get together. The transition team is pretty much Nick, John Myers, and myself, so maybe we can try to get a meeting in the next week or two where we can sit down. For me personally, and I think the board, we could do a closed session meeting with the full board even. That's another option. I think I'd like to see maybe where we come up with four creative ads for the year. And just have four creatives that you can use so when those fire sales come up. And that's something that the board could work on. I don't know. I know I've talked individually with a few members, and everybody seems to like that idea of coming up with, you know, four different ad campaigns that we could just use throughout the year. So if a fire sale came up, you'd have already creative done. And that's something that the full board could do. So just throwing that out there, too, to throw out at you.
Okay.
Are you available next Thursday?
I'd have to look at my
okay,
calendar.
Okay, so take a peek at next Thursday. That might be something we consider doing for a meeting okay. next Thursday.
I think on the creative, though, I think it would be good for and however you want to facilitate it, I think it'd be good to have the board, you know, kind of everybody have a general discussion, you know,
yeah.
and we could almost do like a SWOT analysis, you know, where strengths, weaknesses, the whole thing, and really have a consensus, because what happens is, you know, you kind of start off with a lot of ideas, and then by the end of, you know, an hour or two, there's like three things that everybody agrees upon, you know, and I think nature's certainly one of those. You saw from what Casey, you know, and what people liked is just the beauty. I mean, we have that going for us. And yeah. and then also, you know, in regards to the ads, some of those might be, you know, more directed toward like if a National Geo, I mean, you're going to have a little different creative for different things. But, and that's when I, you know, as you know, middle marketing is a part of this. My agency pretty much is taking the lead on social media, website, and place in the media. But the creative, you know, get maybe their creative guy to come in too and sit in that meeting would be good and then come back and show you guys some ideas.
Some examples. Yeah. Okay.
We used to have a creative subcommittee, so I don't know if you want to form another subcommittee, but that's another possibility. So.
Yeah, we'll do it in one day in a big special closed meeting or something and power it all out.
Okay.
We're trying to get away from too many committees and doing too many meetings. Anything else, John, you have?
Nope.
Okay.
Have Rick come up if you like.
Other questions? Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Karen Biagini real quick for the TOT report, and
Thanks,
then we'll bring
John.
Rick up.
Thanks, John.
I think this is the perfect lead-in, all this discussion on statistics and placements and creatives. In analyzing the first 3 months of our fiscal year, July, August, and September, the statistics, the months, dollars are in. Overall, motel receipts in Morro Bay are up $1,272,431. That calculates out to TBID funding to $38,189. That's a 16.65% increase.
Woo-hoo!
Over the prior period last year. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. It's also an increase of about 7% overall for the period in occupancy. So we're definitely doing something right. This is excellent, excellent news.
Thank you, Karen. And we just wanted to make sure to cover that because that wasn't originally on the agenda, and we got these.
Hello.
Hi, John.
I thought I got cut off. It's okay. Thanks.
Nope, you're still there.
That's okay.
Well, he's got it on his computer.
Sequence, so we're gonna
makes it easier.
So I don't have numbers that can compete with Karen's numbers because that's very encouraging, but we got a lot of really positive stuff here that we can talk about. One of the things we talked is how long would it take us to turn this around and get you some better numbers, and we said 90 days, and I think we're right on that right now. I'll start off with the only negative that I can find is the referrals from the city website is dropped the biggest, and I think you will find that on the third page. It dropped almost 32% year over year. And one of the things is that the city referrals represents about 10% of your web traffic. So right now, so when that drops, that's a big hit. We try to make it up in other ways, and you know, if we didn't have that kind of anchor around us, all these numbers would be a lot better, because it is such an important referral to us. On walking through this real quick, on the second page, you can see the traffic sources. This is where I work at. The traffic sources via search is almost 58% in October. And if you scan over to the left, you'll see that's the highest number that we've had. And that's where I wanted to get it up over 50%. And if you skip way to the back, next to the last page, is you'll see organic searches. And I got, we had 6,871 organic searches, which was 19%. That was the first time positive. You know, those are the results of what hopefully I'm doing right here with the SEO. Back onto that second page, I'm skipping around a lot. Back onto that second page under referring URLs. Joan, what I usually do is I usually track something that's going to be consistently there, not up and down, unless John does an LA Times or something like that, I'll throw it in there. But what I did throw in is the very last line, the Morro Bay Harbor Festival referring URLs. You know, we got 254 referrals from them, and what I'm trying to do is, as a policy, is to encourage you when you give money to events like Morro Bay Harbor Festival. You know, fortunately, I was their webmaster, so I had some input on what we did. And we put the lodging, the booking module on there and links over, is to require that out of, like, 4th of July, out of anybody that comes and asks for money, because I think this sets a really good precedent, and especially if it helps us with kind of filling in the hole that we're getting from the city referrals, you know, and, or any referrals like that. So those are you know, that's 254 that was really well received here. And so I did track that just as a little odds and ends. I'll probably drop that off since the Harbor Festival will be declining. But one of the things to remember, and this comes back to Joan's comment about Nat Geo, is there's a thing in blogging called permalinks. If you blog a post, it stays out there forever. So even though we might have paid for advertising or something, that we could still be getting referring URLs in from that. And that's one of the things we're hoping with our blog here. Let's see, skipping along here. Well, as John said, our referrals with the first time positive, that's about four pages in. I think the fourth page, you'll see the referral page. And we were up almost 10%. That's the first time positive. One of the things that really helped out was the next page also was the hotel listing page. We really got up the visibility. This was a little bit of help through Google AdWords also, because we had an AdWords campaign that was clicking on the ad and was landing on the hotel page. But that's the big lead in to referrals for all you guys. So once we, you know, that's a real critical page to watch and how it goes over the time. And, you know, we drove it up 56% compared to all the other negatives when you see that. A lot of that was both the organic searches were working and the fact Google AdWords was going. So we spent it well in that time. The last thing I've got is, and this is kind of goes on to your item that's further down on the agenda, your goal setting with Carl Roboto. One of the things that I was taking notes on when Carl was speaking is how he'd like to see unique visitors go up, okay? And so what I did was I was sitting out here thinking of that. I ran the numbers, and for the first 6 months of 2013, your unique visitors went up 10%. In the 4 months since then, your unique visitors went up 18%. That's a big increase. And that once again, is the aggregate of all of the work that TGA Mental, we're all doing, reflective in Karen's numbers on, you know, all of this is big teamwork right now. But in the right sidebar on the homepage, you've got the booking module. Then underneath that, you've got plan a trip and you got specials. And then you got in the news. That in the news click is clicking into the blog. And the blog has been relatively put on the back shelf. But now with what Peter's talking about, it's coming forward again. Because I think the last post was on there was talking about the Labor Day Art in the Park.
Do you think that people know what In the News is? Should it say In the News blog blogging?
That's a good question. Blogging? Since it's been in the background, I haven't really concerned myself with that. But, you know, and also, does it need to go up in the main menu up there? You know, I mean, and then I don't know how much room flexibility I have in that. I haven't touched the main menu. I don't know how it's designed, how easy it is to change. Some WordPress sites are very easy, and some it might be a customized type of thing. Good question, you guys. You know, it stumped me. I couldn't find the blog until I clicked on everything on the site. In the news, you know, but yet, you know, blogs are newsworthy. It's usually when we're blogging, we're talking about events. We're talking about some kind of press release, like the Amgen tour coming to Pismo Beach, you know, type of thing, or something like that. So it is newsworthy, but one of the things I haven't tracked is, notice here on the pages, top page views, there's no blog. So in other words, I don't think it's getting a lot of play. So how do we, if we're going to put $200 a month into a blogger, how do we get bang for the buck, the ROI? I mean, that's the way I'm data analysis in my head is going through. Is so what do? Do we give it a premier location? We make it more obvious. We can, you know, put it in more sidebars like that, because I don't know if the interior sidebars right now has the in the news section or if it drops out. Because right now we've got that tower ad for the getaway contest. It is now appearing in the sidebars all the way. So that would be some direction that I'd look forward.
I had a question, too. I remember at the last meeting we talked about, right now when you go to morrobay.org, you kind of see a lot of writing. Like there's like this whole section about Morro Bay, and then down below are the events. And I thought I remember there being a discussion about maybe trying to break up some of that wording. Because if you're, you know, if you're naive, you don't know to scroll down to see the in the news or to see those other things. Is that
devil's advocate on that point,
yeah,
Michelle?
Please.
Is one of the heaviest viewed pages is specials and deals. That is not in the main menu. It's on the sidebar, halfway down the page. So people are scrolling down. One of the things, I usually need some content up at the top just for the search engines. I'm not worried about the human eyeballs on that thing, whether they read it or not. I'm worried about the search engine spidering and indexing that content.
I'm not saying to take it away necessarily,
no.
But could we flip it maybe? I don't know. I mean, it's up for a little bit of discussion. I don't know if anybody else has noticed
that.
We can
modify it a little bit and then let everything drag up.
Yeah.
You know, and then one of the things that I always have to do is to make sure we have the right featured event down there. And once I run out of events, because I'm pulling off of the calendar, and that's one of the things Peter and I are working on right now is the 2014 calendar, because one of the things we discovered was the fact that the mobile site has an entirely different calendar on there. And, you know, if you look under fall events under the calendar on a mobile, it didn't list Harbor Festival and the Oyster Festival, which was a big ups, but nobody noticed that until the last meeting when it was pointed out to me. And so, in other words, Peter has two event calendars to work on. And we know events are really popular and really important. So we're working on what we've inherited. How can we make it better and better user friendly? And your point's well taken, Michelle, on the homepage.
And I think, I mean, I don't know if you want this whole board. We could do a straw poll. I agree. I think that in the news needs to say in the news blog or Morro Bay blog.
Blog about it.
Or newsworthy blog.
What I've called it before on my other websites, whether you want to do that or not, is I called it travel log. You know, whether you like that or not, or travel blog, you know, those that kind of makes it really easy that it is, you know, and what we think is you know, it's a local knowledge being passed off to the visitors,
mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
know before is. You go type of thing, you know, that's what I call it. So if you like, we can train it to travel blog or travel log.
I like travel blog.
Blog.
We'll give Nick his due on it. We'll call it the Nick Initiative Travel Blog. I'm making notes right now. It'll be called the Travel Blog.
I should get a bonus for that.
Yeah, Nick gets a bonus for the day.
Yep.
I'll buy you an ice cream, Nick.
I think you ought to treat us to lunch. But
I'm not that wealthy.
Nick, treat us.
Oh, Nick can treat us to lunch, yeah. I will have to say, just on a personal note, from a hotelier standpoint, not as my presidency, I have seen morrobay.org on my referrals move up. So it's doing its job. I've been really tracking. We're switching, doing some movement around on websites, and I've seen it. My referrals are coming
to it for a telephone call until somebody tells me different. That's been my industry standard for a long time. So those two numbers added together is the ROI on your website. Hopefully it's in that 3-5% range. And John Meyer knows what our TOT is by the year. So, you know, all we got to do is say that and, you know, there we go. And if we get up to 5%, I'd be really happy. If 3%, I'll satisfy that. 1.5%, I'm not happy.
No. Questions for Nick? I'll go around to John Myers first.
No, I'm good. That was a good report.
Joan?
I had a couple of things that we touched on a little bit prior to the meeting. I had spent some time with Rick, not Nick. And we discussed, at the last meeting, I brought up the TripAdvisor destination page. And I tried to relay through a series of emails. And without getting into a lengthy email discussion, you try and get your point across. that the hotels, if they're a TripAdvisor hotel, if you, you know, have your page on TripAdvisor, you get a certain information from TripAdvisor weekly. It's called a TripAdvisor for Business Property Dashboard Weekly Digest. And this shows visits to your page for the month, and it goes down. It shows how many reviews have posted, and then it shows your visitors, top visitor sources, the United States, United Kingdom, Australia, and such. And I've shared this with John Myers in the past. Shows you if people visited your website through TripAdvisor, if they visited the La Serena Inn, it will show you if they also visited the Days Inn, the Comfort Inn, and the Embarcadero Inn. It'll show you the top three other sites that they also visited. And then it tells you how many travelers researched Morro Bay that week. So the week of 11/4 through 11/10, I know that 5,821 people researched Morro Bay on TripAdvisor. 5,821. That would lead me to believe that they're getting about 22,000 to 25,000 visitors a month to TripAdvisor researching Morro Bay. We have a destination page there that's probably somewhere supplying these statistics for the destination page. Because what's really important about that is that these statistics go on to say the travel date searches that people are interested in. And that week of 11/4 through 11/10, they provided the statistics that 34% of the people were looking to book in November, 33% were looking to book in December, and January or later was the latter 33%. The information that we can get in terms of how quickly do we need to, if we know our hotels are wide open and vacant, and we look at this information, we see that people are searching for November, and we're in November and we're wide open and vacant for the back end of November, maybe we start, maybe we do use some of those fire and contingencies that it gives our advertising people the ammunition to look at and say, okay, hotels are empty in the end of November. We know that people are searching for November. We know that they're looking at Cambria, Pismo Beach, and Monterey. Let's run a banner ad for Morro Bay on the Monterey destination page every time they open it up. And we have that capability. So I'm hoping to see if we can find who, Rick is going to help us, I think, find who that administrator is.
Casey and I, well, we're working on that. That's just great information. And you know me, I love data. That can really help us. And I'd love to be able to track that year over year if we can get our hands on it. And it was great. And it was really good that you brought the visuals because then it just crystallized it in my head because the emails were going, wait, I'm not aware of it. I haven't seen any stats like that because I don't have a hotel that has access to that has shared it with me. And so that was really great data. And one of the things to really, really drive home is in social media, the three most important factors in influencing a booking reservation in descending order of importance, TripAdvisor, Facebook, and YouTube. So this is the tip of the pyramid in social media. And it is one of our number three most important referring URL. So any data that we can glean off of, and we're hopeful that we can do something similar to what Joan saw at her hotel level, that we can do it for a destination level. But real important stuff. And kudos on that.
And I think for the hoteliers, too, that's where people go to book reservations. So for us as a hotelier, that's a huge ROI because that's where they're actually making their reservation to look to book. That's where you're going to get money cha-ching in the cash register.
And what's really good is, you know, in the constituent newsletter that we send out, maybe that should be a little article in that, guys, get in your TripAdvisor stats on your own individual properties. Here's what you can find out there. You know, and that's part of the things that we do influence a buying
seasonal
decision than a booking decision. We have a lot longer time frame if that's true. So
yeah,
we can do better.
I think Karen makes
seasonal.
A good point. It is, yeah, it's probably seasonal. We may go, and if I pulled it up in June or July or August, it may be shorter. But I was shocked by that. And I think we need to remember these tools we have out there. I think I actually got it from you last month where I went searching for my data. So
where is this?
Yeah.
And then I'm not sure, I know that Yelp is a huge booker for restaurants. So as we get into this conversation, TripAdvisor is extremely important for the hotels. I just can't even express that enough. However, having said that, less important to the hotels, but more important to the restaurants, is Yelp. I mean, even I, when I'm in San Francisco or LA, I'm Yelping restaurants. I'm not TripAdvisoring restaurants. I'm Yelping them. And I'm looking for those Yelp comments. And so I'm not sure if, because I don't advertise or do anything with Yelp, I'm not sure if there's some correlation there or if there's some statistic that might be good. I've talked about this quite a bit. I'd like to see some more statistical data to back up our restaurant advertising so we know what we're doing in terms of our restaurant advertising. And I'm not sure, maybe Nick can speak to how a Yelp would be or if we can possibly, you know, constantly track Yelp and see what we're doing for those local destinations.
Before Nick jumps in on Yelp, let me just say that on most of my other DMO websites under dining listings, I have a Yelp review. And most of them, you know, link to their Yelp review. And most of them, I mean, I look in it first and make sure that it's really not terrible, you know, that they've got some good Yelp reviews. And nobody's really complained if you go in and see some of the sites that I've done on that. So, but Nick, go ahead. What do you got an opinion on
that? In the restaurant business, it's, you know, everybody has a mobile device now. And, you know, when they're driving the streets, they might see, hey, there's this restaurant, let's bring it up on Yelp and just see, like, and, you know, they kind of scan through them. You know, TripAdvisor also has a lot of restaurant reviews, along with Urban Spoon is another one also. And there's a half a dozen other ones also on there. But so, you know, it's becoming something that's, you know, rapidly becoming one of the major players as far as advertising and you know, as far as, you know, getting information now. It's all about information now.
It would be cool to be able to see where, and I know they have to get to morrobay.org to get to the restaurants page, but if there was any kind of correlation on Yelp or anything between Yelp and a direct link to our restaurants page, it would be interesting for me to it would just be great to have a little more in-depth knowledge about where that restaurant traffic was coming from so we could look at those sources and maybe build that restaurant traffic.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got 17,000 page views on the restaurant thing. The only problem is, and not to throw a damper on all this, is the website template that it's built off of is called GeoPlaces. And GeoPlaces does, at this point in time, does not have a place where we can enter a Yelp link. So it would have to be a major, major. I mean, I can look and see. I might be wrong, but this is the last time I looked at GeoPlaces. A lot of times they have it. There might be an update for the template, but one of the problems that I have with WordPress templates, if it's not something that's really easily to modify, then you're kind of structured in there, and so you're structured into GeoPlaces right now until we change it or we talk about it down the road. Doesn't mean the backend database goes away. It just means how you play with the database can be a little bit more flexible. And so in other words, if Nick pounds the table and says, I want Yelp on my thing listening right now, we probably could not do it. But it would be something that we'd have a wish list or a punch list for future things down the road.
But I think, it's good to put it on the radar then if something does come up that we can kind of link it between there. But I think the restaurateurs would like to know that information. I think it would be good. Yeah, I mean, it would say, look what, you know, this is where our dollars are being spent, and you guys are, you know, direct recipients of that, you know, because people come here, they've got to eat, you know, so.
The for what it's worth is, you know, for DMOs that have got this kind of traffic, I mean, you have 166,000 visitors in, you know, 10 months, is every 2 years you want to think about reskinning your website. You know, just to bring it up to date, to show new features or whatever. So, you know, this is something to keep in the back of your mind, whether, you know, you want to do that every 3 years or 4 years. I mean, budget constraints are obviously have to play in there, but I'm just saying that, you know, that's just typical. So.
Anything else for Rick?
No questions, Karen? I was waiting for a good question from you. You always challenge me.
Okay. John, did you have anything else for Rick before he's...
So it was a 16% increase over 2 years ago.
Okay, John. And I had sent a... I did not go back and check the 11-12, whether that was correct. I had sent an email to Jamie and asked her to clarify, and I hadn't heard back from her before I worked those numbers up. So you're saying the 11-12 is actually the 11-12, but the 12-13 is actually the 13-14?
Correct.
So it is 2 years. We didn't get the 12-13. Is that what you're saying?
That's what came out with the package. When the report came out for the current quarter, it included the 11-12 report, not the 12-13 report.
Okay.
I think it had that because the 13-14 report was actually labeled 12-13.
So I guess we need clarification if this 2011-2012 is truly 2011-2012 or if it's 2012-2013.
Well, that's truly the 11-2012.
Okay. So you have checked it?
Yes.
Okay.
So the actual numbers, motel revenues were up $608,000, and which is a 6.8% increase, excuse me, an 8.6% increase over the prior year. Not a 16% increase.
So half 1 year and
16% over 2 years.
Yeah.
So 8.6 over 1 year is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why before when I was talking about the financial reserve, since we budgeted a 10% increase, but only for the first quarter, our biggest quarter only got 8.6. We're actually behind budget.
Okay.
Not a huge amount, but that was where my concern was coming from about a financial reserve.
Okay. Point well taken. Okay. Well, we will still at least we're up, but that's okay.
Not at least we're up. We're up a significant number. I still think it's terrific results. Okay, 16 would have been a backflip. This is three quarters of a backflip, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 8.6 is nothing. Ashamed about this for sure. Anyway, I got to honestly tell everybody that when I said I would accept the treasurer role 30 days ago, I had no clue what I was getting into. So let me give you the facts as best as I give them to you, tell you what our current situation is, and then let you know what we're doing about everything. 30 days ago, or actually 29 days ago, the first thing I did as your new treasurer was I decided to pay a visit at the bank and get a copy of the bank statement. And I was shocked. I looked to see the balance in our account was about $17,000. I'm going to use round numbers on everything. $17,000 represents about one quarter of 1 month of our average disbursements, meaning we had enough cash to last about another 7 days. So I immediately told Karen to stop signing checks, and I told George to stop cutting checks other than payroll, because obviously you have to meet payroll. What George failed to tell me was that he had already issued another $13,000 worth of checks, so the real balance in the account was less than $4,000. So when payroll came up the following week, we actually missed payroll by 4 days, which is a violation of law. A very quite serious situation had any of our employees decided to lodge a complaint. In the meantime, I went back to find out what the cause of our problem was and determined that there was only one deposit to our account in the current fiscal year, and that occurred on or about July 30th of this year. That deposit was for about $107,000 and represented the bequest of $58,000, which we receive from City Council, which is half of the $116,000, and roughly $49,000 of assessment funds, which represented the assessment money earned in the month of June, our prior fiscal year. We had received through September no revenue to pay us for the operations of the visitor center, and we had received no revenue representing our assessment funds for any portion of the current fiscal year. The lack of credits to the account caused the debits to exceed the account, and it caused the payroll situation. I worked with Susan. We met payroll 4 days late when we put about $325,000 into the bank, which was all the money that was past due that was owed to us. Soon a call will either go into myself if I'm in town, Michelle, or one of the other officers for signature. So we have a process in place now to watch checks going out, and I will be watching the incoming credits from the city. As I started to get farther into this thing, I learned that none of our accounting policies had even been remotely implemented, and we were effectively flying blind. I mean, I'm just absolutely appalled at the condition I found when I took over as treasurer. I can tell you today that I am 99.9% certain that there is no risk of loss, or that no loss has been incurred. And we were very lucky about that, because it could have been a serious situation. I mean, even to the point where when I first met with George the week after I was appointed treasurer, he handed me envelopes, sealed envelopes with bank statements in them. Nobody had even reviewed bank statements. George obtains the bank statements online, so he had the bank statements. That explains probably to a large degree the condition of the financial statements, which you all saw last September, and those statements have not been shared at the last meeting in October. Those statements have not been changed from George's perspective, because that's all he's been able to create. I've spent pretty close to a full-time job over the last 30 days trying to get the finances of this company in some semblance of order. Quite a bit has been achieved. Quite a bit needs to be done. We've implemented most of the accounting policies that need to be in place, although there's been some disruption with the fact that our executive director is going to be moving on. What you have in front of you, which were sent out 2 or 3 days ago to everybody, are financial statements on a monthly basis from October of last year through September of this year. I don't have October this year because the bank statement is just out for October. Those statements have all been compiled by myself based on the bank statements that I received from Founders Bank. I do not necessarily reconcile with the statements that George has created. I can't explain to you why that is not the case or why that is the case. All that I can do is tell you that I balance to the bank statements. And if I'm to balance to anything, it's going to be to the bank statements. I've completely reformatted the financial statements. As you can see, there are now general ledger account numbers for every activity that goes on debit and credit-wise for the company. Sitting down with Peter yesterday was kind of the first test at somebody else taking a look at the coding of the invoices. And I can honestly say, after I think Peter and I talked through the first 3 or 4 invoices, he did the next 8 or 10 of them on his own, absolutely with ease and correctly. So I think we've got a system now that it's going to get the right expenses in the right buckets. What I determined since the company has started, I think, other than with the expenses relating to the reconstruction of the visitor center, and with the exception of very obvious expenses like salary and utilities. If an invoice came in from Goofy Graphics, we really don't know what that invoice was for. We know we printed something or had something, a banner made, but what that banner was for, I have no clue. So I went back and I went through every invoice and every check since the inception of the company, and classified those as best I could into the new format of the financial statements. So that's what's sitting in front of you now. And I think I would look at and call your attention to sheets 2, 3, and 4, which is the Visitor Center Regional Marketing and Tourism Bureau. And I'm just going to focus on the first quarter of fiscal 2014. I'm not going to touch the prior fiscal year because there's still an awful lot of work that needs to be done there. But this now is broken down into our three businesses, the Visitor Center Regional Marketing, and the Tourism Bureau Destination Marketing. The top part of the statement is obviously revenues, and if you look at the very first sheet, you can see our budget for Visitor Center revenues was $100,000 for 2014, and through September of fiscal 2014, we have received zero. And you can see the revenues and the expense items all the way through. The first now so that we can not only, for example, look at how much money we granted to events, we can also determine how much money we as a bureau use to market and promote those events outside of the grant funds. Or if we're talking about an event like Saver, a trade show like Saver, we can now determine, we can track what our expenses are for all the subsets of Saver. For example, the fees we pay just to be a sponsor of Saver versus the adventure tour that we put on versus the booth that we set up versus the Battle of the Bay that we produce. So all those expenses are tracked separately, so we will now be able to know what we're doing and how much it costs and get a pretty good idea of where exactly our money is going to. Kind of looking at these three statements, because there's no revenue in there, it's just kind of a joke looking at them. So I don't know if you want to spend a whole lot of time dwelling on the statements themselves, but these statements, I do believe, fairly represent in a good format the activities of your company for the 90 days ending September 30th. Are there any questions that anybody has on the statements?
John, just so that I'm sure that I understand, I received the revised budget and then two financials. One was for the 9 months ending June 30th, 2013, and then for the first quarter of the current fiscal year, July, August, September.
Correct.
In the July, August, September, where you've got the detailed breakdown of expenses, when we only had the one assessment check that came in July.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I'm not seeing where you're actually breaking out, like, the break between Visitor Center or Regional and Operating or Administrative. Am I missing something? Did I print the wrong thing, or?
Each statement should be probably 4 pages long.
Yeah.
The first sheet you're looking at, it's titled Morro Bay Tourism Bureau.
Right.
And it shows Visitor Center, Regional Marketing, Bureau Office and Destination Marketing, and then July combined.
I guess I don't
have
that one.
It should be split up like this. See, three headings.
That's the very first sheet.
And
Visitor, yeah.
Okay, somehow I didn't get that one.
Well, it all came in one Excel.
Karen, so I'm right. You're talking about the 2014?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the first quarter of this year.
So I just pulled up the email, like, what Nick's showing, and I think it's exactly what Nick... It does break it down. Maybe you just didn't print it.
Okay. So maybe there must have been additional pages then? It wasn't just the top page?
What it is at the bottom, there were worksheets. At the bottom, there was a sheet.
Okay. Okay, I'll have to go back to the email and pull it up to look at it a little more carefully. Then
there's actually four sheets under one Excel spreadsheet or one Excel package.
Okay.
to those sheets is multiple pages.
Okay, that's what I didn't do. I probably just pulled up sheet one then, which was is the consolidated?
Yeah.
Okay.
How much of your consolidated, is that you just have one page?
No, it's four pages long, but it doesn't have it broken out by, and I can see from Nick and Michelle's looking at their emails exactly what you did, and that's perfect. That's
yeah, they're
beautiful.
The same. Number. Look
that's
at that.
That's a huge amount of work.
But I mean, I'm appalled at the condition that financially we were in.
John, you know, I think this is part of the whole experience of running this company for the first time. Not for the first time, but during this year. And one thing that I'm concerned about is, in the future, how do we, does Ms. Slayton, does she have a schedule that she's going to make regular deposits or give us checks, or how is that going to be handled in the future so we don't get to the point where, you know, we're expecting money to be given and it's not?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Yes, she has a procedure. For example, on or about the 30th every month, she takes the balance of what she calls the assessment cash account, which is all the assessment money that has come in the last 30 days, and cuts a check for us.
See, that's what I'm saying.
But what happened, cash account on the city's books is supposed to be cleared out, you know, at the end of every month and, you know, zeroed out and given mm-hmm. to us. That number will not be the same as the number on the TOT report. You know, over long periods of time, it will be approximately the same. But, you know, there some properties, you know, don't get their payment in by the 30th of the month. So their July payment's going to come in the September check and things like that. So they don't always balance. But mm-hmm. over long periods of time, we should be able to get pretty close to managing that number. But that following the credits to the account now is something I've taken up as treasurer, and we'll make sure that the revenues hit the account in the future so we prevent the cash shortage situation that we were in. I might say that looking back at the statement in last spring, the same thing almost happened. We were down to about $16,000, I think, in May. So the same thing almost happened back then as well.
I think in the future, though, I think we should, you know, I'm not interested in, you know, pointing fingers or, you know, but I think we should have at least three people double-checking that make sure those deposits get in there. You know, our accountant, our CPA should be making sure that those deposits are our treasurer, and then also our executive director should be making sure that there should be six sets of eyeballs checking those reports monthly to make sure those deposits get in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if you look at the accounting policies and procedures, there is a procedure to, look at and reconcile bank statements.
Right.
For example, looking at reconciling the bank statements, you look at the credits. You know, mm-hmm. probably the first thing you look at is the credits, partly because it's the easiest, because there's only a few of them. But, you know, if they're not there, they stand mm-hmm. out real quick.
Absolutely.
Because there's, you know, the most we're going to have is three credits to the account in a month.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So it's, you know, it's not a difficult thing to spot.
Joan, go ahead.
John, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thanks for the coding. I like the new look and feel.
Oh, Joan, let me real quick. I was not aware of, regarding the coding, just so you're aware, there is apparently a generally accepted accounting principle for actually numbering accounts. And George is working on doing that for us. So these numbers, while we're using them now, they will change in the near future. They will go to a five-digit number. The second digit will designate whether it's the visitor center or the tourism bureau office or regional destination marketing. So the coding situation mm-hmm. Will simplify, and then once we've got that all into QuickBooks, we'll be able to generate reports that are a lot more user-friendly. And I apologize, these are not terribly user-friendly, but they're all sitting on, you know, an Excel spreadsheet in my computer. I don't have the benefit of QuickBooks or anything like that. Sorry.
So, okay. In any case, I'm still going to move forward with saying thank you for doing that work for us. Helps us as a startup to really get ourselves organized and moving forward. The whole goal here is to continue moving forward and to not concentrate on the past or where things lagged. I totally agree that if we follow the accounting policies and procedures, we won't have this problem in the future. So it's good that we do have those procedures and that we're moving forward to following them. I'm thrilled to know that Peter is a quick step up on the review of the invoices and whatnot, and that he's happy to step up as we move forward and make some transitions for our future and for the future growth of Morro Bay. And I appreciate what you've done here. I do have all these sets of documents, oh my gosh, and have started to, you know, really delve into them, but I agree that going forward, this is going to be an A, good format, a B, good thing, and that, you know, on all accounts, we're going to be able to take this and, you know, pick it up like it's part of our it will be our regular way of doing business. And so, you know, that's good. I appreciate all the efforts that all of our board members have made over this past year. This has been, you know, as a group of volunteers, I think that we've done pretty darn well getting this bureau moving forward and keeping the momentum going. And so I appreciate all of that.
A byproduct, and I, you know, looking forward, that's, I agree. And as a positive byproduct of this exercise, if you look at the account numbers and how they're in the process of recruiting, you know, defining what our new executive director's responsibilities will be and identifying the person that fits those responsibilities.
Exactly. I think that's a good point. Does anybody else have anything else for John? Go ahead, Karen.
Yeah. John, it's Karen. I just I want to be sure that going forward that you feel our accounting procedures are going to be sufficient and in defining the roles, I think, between the administrative branch of the Tourism Bureau and the board and the treasurer, this was a huge undertaking on your part. And I recognize that. And I think that, you know, we need to, like you say, go forward and make sure that this isn't a constant in your life as a non-paid volunteer. So, you know, do you think that going forward that our accounting procedures will be sufficient in defining these roles between the administrative offices of the Bureau and the board?
Probably not. Partly because the procedures were meant to somewhat reflect the management structure we had in place, you know, and the roles, the people and the roles that those people were in, and I suspect that will change going forward. So I think for the interim period, I think we're okay, although I think there are a few areas where probably some changes will happen in the procedures will happen sooner than later. And then once we settle into a new structure with a new executive director, it would probably be about time to do a total review of the operating for the accounting policies and procedures at that time anyway. So I think we would adapt those, you know, at about that time. Relook at these things and adapt them at that time. But I you know, do we have adequate controls now? I think so. Yes.
And in the interim period, you're going to be able to continue with the efforts you're having to put forward, not just with the back work, this huge back work job that you've done, but are you comfortable now that George is going to be able to go forward, I guess, would be the question. In the interim period until the roles can be more closely defined with the new executive director?
Yeah, I think, well, I think based on the conversations I've had with George, I believe we have reached a verbal accord. I would, respond to your question probably more affirmatively after I see the statements that George is able to produce. And then reconciling the statements I prepared for you to George's statements, I guess I'm a little concerned that there's more debits on George's statement than there are in my statement, but my statement has the same number of debits that are on the bank statement. So I'm not sure how to reconcile that one, but George and I will reconcile that.
I'm sorry, John, does George use QuickBooks?
Yes.
Mm. Okay, just curious.
And if you kept the statements that were passed out, I think at the October meeting, which were the George's statements through September 30th for the first quarter, it was just kind of a listing. Here's a list of revenue and here's a list of expenses. The single biggest categories on the financial statement were other. There would be, here's the Tourism Bureau, and the biggest expense category under Tourism Bureau was other expense. And there was very interesting creative names like traveling expense, which I've even asked George about, and I don't think he even knows where that name came from. So hopefully George, as long as the I have to say that for the current quarter, I actually went back and went through every invoice for the entire quarter, the actual fiscal invoice, and did the best I could to categorize those into the right account numbers. So we've got every single invoice for the quarter, and every one of those have been looked at.
Is George going to go back from your spreadsheet?
Distributed before the meeting and hopefully in the new format with the new account numbers. But I've got to sit down with George and make sure that that will be produced correctly. I can tell you that every invoice that's going to George and every invoice that has gone to George in the last 3 weeks has been coded according to this chart of accounts. So everything he is now getting is properly coded, and that goes for the any revenue checks as well, both credits and debit.
Right, and if he's working on creating a new GAAP chart of accounts, then it would be a little different than these anyway. But I'm more concerned about seeing something for the 4 month period that's consolidated, so that we. With the work that you've done incorporated in it, I guess is the point that I'm making.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you've got a consolidated statement. And there is a year-to-date statement there. It's just, it reflects a loss for the period of $7,000. And that's because we basically, had no revenues or had very little revenues. So it's the correct statement for the period. It doesn't really reflect our ongoing operation because it doesn't reflect the ongoing revenues because they weren't realized.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else for John before we move on?
Just quickly, Nick. This is Nick here. if you didn't know,
only may help you.
Just for clarification, so is George the CPA, he's also going to be our bookkeeper as well? And those bank statements get mailed to him directly?
Nick, Michelle and I, or Michelle asked that same question. And the answer, truthfully, right now in my mind is I don't know.
Okay. Because just going.
He's got a good office, and he's a very qualified individual. So from that perspective, you know, I'm inclined to say I want to stay with the guy. Right. I'm just not sure when we have a new executive director and we have our office all set up, if we might not want to take some of these responsibilities in-house, partly because it would be more cost-effective.
Okay.
But what I asked and Michelle agreed with was that during the reconstruction, you know, of the Treasury period, mm-hmm. that I would prefer staying with the person that's been on this the whole time,
no,
even
I
if
agree.
It costs a bit more in the near term.
The reason I'm asking is because I think the bank statement should be mailed to the person who's going to reconcile the bank statement. So if we mail the bank statements to his office and they just sit there, that makes no sense. I mean, if we have a director, let's say we hire a new director that has some finance expertise, which I hope we do, then that person would be responsible for reconciling those bank statements. That's, to me, that is so critical to make sure that the checks we're writing, they go to the right place, and that the bank statement, we're getting the income or we're getting the deposits that need to be made. So to me, those bank statements either need to be mailed, they need to be mailed to whomever's going to reconcile them. When that statement comes in, boom, open it up. Let's balance it right now. Timely.
Nick, let me clarify, and John, back me up if I'm on the right track here. In our accounting policies and procedures, we have set up that the statements would go first to the treasurer for a quick review and then to the accountant for reconciliation. Now, our accountant, obviously, because of the way banking is done now, can pull that also up online, so he has it, can start his reconciliation for the month in as soon as the statements are released by the bank. But the idea being in the policies was that we would have a quick review of income and expense, what's coming in, what's going out per the statement that the treasurer could look at the first of each month. And I think that's why we set it up that way in our accounting policies and procedures.
Yeah, and that's correct. And by the time that quick review is done, George would have had the statement probably 3 or 4 or 5 days before we would get the physical mm-hmm. papers, because he's online. So he would probably have completed his bank reconciliation
by the time we did our
review of the statement. Yes, Nick, there is a full reconciliation going on, and we've got copies of all those reconciliations. So that is being done by George.
And that's that checks and balance, because everybody's got to be looking at it. Okay, does anybody have anything else for John? Joan?
I do not. I'll reserve all my questions for you at our next budget subcommittee meeting, John.
Of request for funding, grant policy with approved changes for October's meeting. This is basically just before us because we had approved, we had made some changes, and I will apologize, I did not get those changes sent out to everybody. So I think what we'll do is we'll put this on like in a consent agenda, and I'll put the changes through and send it back. With everything else moving on, I didn't get it out, and that was my bad. I do want to make a point, and this is why I left it on the agenda, is the current subcommittee that was for the fund, the grant policy, we've had a few requests from, I had one request from a board member. We are in the process of reviewing the funding, the $40,000 that we gave out last year, and we will come back to the board for a report on that. We've had a few requests about where the money was spent and on all of those things. Some of them, the events have not happened. We already heard Harbor Fest will be before us next month, and I'm sure Oyster Fest just ended, so I'm sure we'll see those reports too. But one thing we realized is we have not gotten a few reports on a few of those people that we have sent money on. So that's something that the committee is reaching out to those people and will move back. So this will come back before us probably next month with hopefully those reports from the other organizations that received our money. And then I will also bring back the approved changes from last month's meeting along with that. So that's why I didn't remove it from the agenda, because I wanted to have a little spiel about it. But there'll be no action taken today. We already approved the changes. We'll just finalize them at next month's meeting, and there'll be a report from the subcommittee about those $40,000 funds, and then the board can tell the committee how to move forward on that. So So that being said, I'm going to move along to the next item, which is discussion of a 2 to 5 year marketing plan based on Carl Roboto's presentation, including goal setting. So this is before us because we all have talked so much about how it's important that Carl Roboto came out here, and we don't want to see his report sit on a shelf, and we don't want to see us not move forward on the what Carl Roboto came before us. I think there's kind of multiple facets that go along with Carl Roboto's presentation, and I think we heard it from TJ earlier about needing to kind of have a little bit of a retreat possibly on the board level about where we're moving forward with creative. We have this destination versus discover conversation, so we need some direction from the actual board on how to have our agencies and our team working for us. And also one thing that stood out really important to me with Carl Roboto's presentation was he said that the marketing plan that is comes out of this bureau, that piece of paper is important, but the process is more important. And so I think this is something about the process of developing the new marketing plan and having the board part of that process and the, or the community. So I think, you know, we need to decide as a board how we're moving forward with Carl Roboto's presentation. Obviously, we need goal setting in there, too. You know, this is a big thing to chew. It's 12:15. But I think we need to get some future on how we're going to move forward with Carl Roboto's presentation. So, to Karen, because she's going to her mic.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of different facets that we need to look at as we move forward with the information that was gleaned with Carl's study. My concern about moving forward at this time is that we're in the process of making the transition from Karen Moss to a new executive director. And I think if there's anything that we might take as a learning lesson is not to get too far ahead of our executive director and trying to direct our forward movement of this board and our budgeting. So, you know, I hate to take something back in terms of we need to move on this right away, but on the other hand, I really think that the executive director that's going to move us forward further needs to be involved in this process. So I'm not real sure that other than maybe doing a board retreat before executive director, a new director is hired, might be a good idea so we can consolidate our own thoughts a little bit when the executive director comes in. But overall, in terms of creating new marketing plans, expanding marketing plans, looking at what Carl came up with in suggestions of directions, branding, the whole enchilada should be in place with our new executive director.
Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some things. I think we still need a retreat, even though we are in this transition period. But there are some things we probably won't be able to discuss, like, you know, marketing plan and specific things on what needs to go in there. But there are general things I think we can glean from Carl's.
If we wait for new executive director to come in, and assuming that executive director is from outside the area, the new executive director is probably going to take 6 months to find out what our current situation is. Whereas if we did a situation analysis and had that prepared for when the executive director shows up for the job, that would help that person, I think, hit the ground running. You know, they'd have a lot of background already. If they had a SWOT analysis, you know, they'd know what the strengths are and the weaknesses are. They may want to test some of those, but they'd have a pretty good indication and again, be able to start moving quickly from the beginning. When it comes to, you know, the how we're going to affect the marketing plan, I think that's probably where the new executive director, you know, the implementation of what we're going to do, I think that is something that needs to be left to the executive director. But I think there's a lot of preparatory stuff that we could do that would get the new person up to speed much faster if it was available when that person walked in.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Joan.
Well, I thought that the Carl Roboto presentation was good. I think that we are going through a process right now of transition, and I see the need to, I don't, believe me, I'm the last person to say, let's slow the ball down. You know how that goes for me. That's actually tough for me to even say. Let's keep ourselves moving and in motion. I think that that the idea of doing some kind of public workshop would be good if we were talking about the public marketing funds in terms of the 116. But I don't think that we can do that without an executive director. I would, you know, maybe like to see a public SWOT analysis done for that 116 minus the 40,000 that we use for events, so basically 76,000. The bid monies, you know, if we were going to do an analysis with that, I would like to see greater participation from other hoteliers. I think that we have terrific hoteliers who know, you know, we have different market segments, just like there's different market segments for restaurants. We have limited service economy, boutique hotels, and mid-scale family inns. So we have a lot of different pieces of the pie that contribute to that bid money. And I would be interested in maybe our, you know, doing something at our annual stakeholder meeting. Instead of having it just be the report, let's have them do a little bit of analysis and pasting of what maybe they can do. I'm not trying to structure it for us, but that might be a good opportunity because we do get together and we'll likely have our new ED at that time. And that always takes place somewhere between January and March. So the timing might be right on line for that. A goal-setting retreat for the board, I think I'm in line with Nick and John's thinking on that. I really do like a goal-setting retreat. I think that it helps us to build our direction and our team. And, you know, I'd like to see us set some goals for 1 year, since we'd be having a new director. Maybe 1 and 2 years, and set some wide out, far-reaching 5-year goals for the bid, not just dollar figures, but in terms of direction and perception and those kinds of things. I would be cautious to do nothing, but I don't also want us to be overactive. I do want to see us do some analysis of the situation, our marketing situation that we're in, and our marketing that we're currently doing, but enough analysis to get us through to where we have a new director that's comfortable with what we've done. It's a balancing act. I agree with Karen Biagini. Enough to give enough direction from what we've done and enough freedom to create growth. So we have to be careful with how we set those goals.
Okay, so what I'm hearing us all agree on, let me make a comment too. I agree. I think one thing we have to remember, Roboto's thing's really important. I don't want us to lag on it. I do think that we have to be realistic. We're in a transition. November and December are also holidays months. And I know we all know that half of us go out of town for a couple weeks here and there. So November and December are going to be tough. They're going to be tough enough just because it's November and December with the holidays, and then we're also doing the transition. I would love to see our retreat, though, before Karen leaves. I think Karen, being the inaugural person, I think she, this last year, can give us all years and then something with the local funding. So that's kind of would be my vision on the bigger spectrum. But I do think, I think it's really, really vital for us to have our board cohesive goals set before even the new ED comes in. Because I think it'll be important, not that they won't be a part of that, they would be a part of it too, but I think we need to be able to give good direction to the new ED. It's one thing I just think we've not done such a great job of this last year. And so I think if we can cohesively come together as a board, we can give better feedback to the new ED. So I'd like to see us have the retreat in sometime in December as a board retreat with the SWOT analysis and the goal objectives being done sometime in December. So that's would be my 2 cents on it. And we could do the SWOT analysis and do goal objectives in a retreat format for the board. So, Tim.
I'm sorry, my microphone wasn't on. Are we moving forward with a meeting, another meeting, to take another look at our job description and some of our goals for hiring?
I was hoping to maybe do that next week. I was going to poll the board at this. I was going to poll us to see what availability for next Thursday is for a special meeting for that.
The reason why I'm asking is because I'm trying to, in my mind, see a schedule for us between now. So what I'm thinking of when we look at in terms of a board retreat and whatnot, I'm not sure what you think of as a retreat, but usually a retreat is no telephones, no electronics, pretty closed down, and some concentrated effort for at least a half a day. And so I'm not sure if that's what you're looking at. I'm not sure what everybody means in terms of a retreat. I think we may all have different ideas. And if we're talking about hiring, too, we're also talking about getting that ready, a series of interviews and some different things. And I just want to make sure we understand what our commitments are as a board coming up between now and January. That's all I'm saying.
No, and I think it's a good point taken because we've got the holidays to throw into all of those mixes. So I think looking at a calendar, we've got next week, and then we have a short week. So if we did a special meeting next week for the ED stuff and the special meeting for that, I would think potentially we could do a retreat in December, maybe the second or third week of December. I agree. I'm looking at a half day, no phones, no nothing, just the board, and you have some objectives, goal setting, and a little bit of direction, so we're cohesive on the board level of moving forward for marketing. It's a marketing. And I would say that would be a closed session, solely board, second or third week of December. And I did talk with Alex and Jane. Thursdays for them tend to work. Alex has been unavailable, but after November 17th, he will be available on Thursdays again. So I think if we can kind of try to keep those Thursdays open.
Thursdays are regular board, so maybe the 19th?
The 19th, mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe we could tentatively say a retreat December 19th.
Is the 5th out of the question? December 5th, is that too soon?
No, I'm out of town.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Right. So you know.
Because I'm just thinking the closer we get to the 25th of December,
the crazier it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we could push it to January. I mean, that's why we're up for discussion. That's
Does
why
it have to be a Thursday? I mean, would it have to be a Thursday? Could it be a Tuesday? I mean, I know there's Rotary, Nick. You can make that up on your vacation. You can go to 2 Rotary meetings.
So maybe a second date would maybe be like Wednesday the 11th, maybe doing it on a Wednesday. The day before our regular board meeting?
That might be good because then we could, you know, with a closed meeting, we do have to say if we're taking any action at the next open meeting. So, you know.
But I'm not going to be able to get it on the agenda. Anything we do on the 11th won't be able to make the 12th agenda.
Mm-hmm. No, but what you need to put is reportable action from the closed meeting on the next regularly scheduled agenda. So if there were any reportable actions that were decided and taken, then that would just need to
but
be.
But they wouldn't make it on the agenda because the agenda will already be posted by that Monday.
It has to be posted, what, 24 hours?
72.
No, 70.
Yeah, retreat probably wouldn't have reportable action.
So the 11th or the 19th, is either one is good for me.
Yeah, I can do the 11th. I think if everyone can get away on a Wednesday, though.
That's okay.
But I thought Alex and Jane were tough on.
I would have to reach out to them. They had told me their Thursdays are usually pretty open. So I can, and that's why if I can have 2 dates, we can maybe poll them.
Either the 11th or 19th.
Yeah, let's do.
Okay, so Wednesday the 11th. John Myers.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, I was going to say, are you back in December?
Yes.
Okay, all of you, but when you raise your kids, I don't see them a lot. So at school, and it's an important thing to me, and
absolutely,
it's important. So I can see, though, about trying to get out there a little earlier, maybe. I just wanted to throw that out if 10 a.m. I usually don't commit to Wednesdays because of that, but 10 a.m., I know, I'm getting in trouble here. I'm live, I forget. So we'll see 10 to 4 tentative Wednesday. Maybe we could start it and do like an 8 to 3 or something also. The second date then would be Thursday, December 19th. I would assume that would be our second preference. Sorry, I'm just writing all this down. Okay. I know, I'm not so kind. I'm not so nice. Okay, so
I'm
I think
switching carpools, Michelle.
We don't need any motion on this if we're doing it. I would just agendize like normal, so I think we're good, just talking out loud. Okay, so I think we've got some things to move forward on for the Carl Roboto presentation, and I'll make sure that we get copies of the Roboto presentation. If not, if everybody doesn't have those copies already, I think Karen sent them out. If anybody doesn't have them, be sure to reach out to Karen. She can get you the copies. I'd like us to all review that prior to it, and I'll remind everybody via email. Yeah, remind everybody. Okay, so moving on, discussion about methods and strategy to build marketing database for the destination website and social media. And I'm going to turn this to, oh, and then they left. So you know what, I think, is everybody okay with us moving this to the next?
Yeah, this was a discussion that included TJA. We had sent some emails back and forth regarding methods and strategies to build the marketing database, meaning that direct market marketing database. And I'm happy to report that, I don't know if everybody knows this, I didn't see it show up in the marketing report, that our Facebook, or maybe I did, it hit 10,000. There were so many numbers up there. It hit 10,000. We have 10,000 friends on Facebook that like Morro Bay, which is stunning and fantastic.
Didn't Casey?
I think she did touch on that. There were so many numbers. Yeah, 11,000 now. So we are, what I was trying to figure out is how we have information as hoteliers, how we can work through TJA to work to the hoteliers to somehow, when people are either on our websites, if they can develop a widget or something that later people, it flies out and asks people if they want to join morrobay.org or if they, that's what I was trying to figure out. And we were going back and forth in some emails. So we can bring this back for another discussion time.
Perfect. Okay, so we'll bring that back on the next agenda, and maybe I'll reach out to Rick. Yeah,
work
so
together
Rick,
with Rick.
Yeah, so then Rick knows, because I don't think he understood that this included him. And that was probably my bad, too. It's been a little crazy.
Okay.
Okay, so declaration of future agenda items. We just know that item will be back. I also have heard Harborfest would like to come back and be on our agenda.
And also, this isn't really on future agenda items, but weren't we going to talk about a meeting for the job description? Or a special meeting?
Special meeting next Thursday she's going for.
Yeah, okay. I was hoping that everybody is available.
So that's
next
for
Thursday.
Sure now? Okay.
It's not for sure. Need to poll everybody.
All right.
So is everybody available next Thursday?
Black it out, Nick.
The 21st? Yeah.
Yeah.
So where, when, what time?
Well, and that'll be to be determined, because I need to find out if Jane and Alex, who are not here, are going to be available next Thursday.
Okay.
I'm not available.
You're not available in the morning. Okay. When are you available?
After maybe 11.
After 11. Okay. Okay. Are you available after 11?
Oh, that's tough for you.
I can do maybe after 2-ish.
After 2? After 11?
You've got to pick up kids 11, and stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, I can.
Yeah. Okay. We'll try to figure it out with everybody's schedule. I'll reach out to Jane and Joan, or Jane and Alex. And John Myers, you're available next Thursday, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Could be Skype. He's gone all over the world. He can Skype in.
Michelle, for future agenda items, you may want to add on there the a report from the Sustainable Funding Committee. Because we'll be having a November 25th meeting, and we'll be able to bring some information back to you, and I don't want to miss the opportunity to have us continue the conversation.
Good idea.
So if you can just add a report from us. John, did you hear that?
He already turned us off.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So that we can bring a report back. And
that's a good idea.
I'm not sure if there was anything else. I did see Harbor Festival, but I don't.
There'll be the funding grant policy. We'll come back. The discussions about building the marketing database.